Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
You and I had discussions, and the intention was, our intention was to bring Candace on this show with us today. So yeah, we could discuss our point.
Yeah, I like the sister.
Man, get what? Yeah. I did too.
Why you say past tense?
I say that because when everybody got a chance to see the entire panel,
yeah,
they disagreed as much as I disagreed with what she said.
Well, they weaponized your clip against her too.
Well, that may be so. Yeah. That may be so. That may have some merit. However, what she chose to do was send me a text privately to my phone. I did not know it was her until later on in the wee hours of the morning.
Yeah.
I thought it was an anonymous text. When I finally seen it, that's who it was. It really rubbed me the wrong way.
Okay.
But I want you to read what was said.
I'm a diverse individual.
All of this shit is real.
Everybody like, what is it? Is he a family man? Is he a trapper? Is he a ladies man? Well, I'm all of it. All of it. I beat your ass, kiss your girl, and go tuck my kids in. And then I show up and lead a march on the weekend.
It's all real.
This is Expeditiously. I am Tip T.I. Harry. The following experience is not a test. The conversations and stories expressed on this podcast are meant to be an expression of purpose and truth. This show, entitled properly Expeditiously, is a free exchange of ideas and opinions with no judgment, no preconceived beliefs, and no fear. You're encouraged to share your thoughts and ask questions as long as it's done with respect. We believe it is through true love and respect for others that we will have an opportunity to change the world and speak truth to power. And we're going to do that one show at a time. Now, this is Expeditiously. I'm your host, T.I.P.
Welcome to Expeditiously. I'm your host, Tip T.I. Harris. Now, speaking with my longtime partner, Killer Mike, in our hometown of Atlanta, we had plenty of stimulating discussions, and this was one hell of a conversation as well. Now, when Mike and I get together, man, we can rap for hours, and that's exactly what we did. 5 hours, to be exact. We talked about everything under the sun. I'm talking about from the origins of Atlanta culture to the Frederick Douglass curriculum, the our alma mater. He graduated. I did not. That doesn't matter. All the way up to what the music and the culture does to continue to push this city forward, onto politics, onto what it means to be a husband and a father and a family man while we're still living in the life and the lifestyle that we live. We hope you enjoy the podcast, and don't forget to check out the next part of our conversation in part two, available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One. This is Expeditiously.
I am inspired by you as a capitalist, as a person, as a compassionate capitalist. I always qualify that. I'm a compassionate capitalist.
Right.
I am a capitalist. I am in this business to make money.
Right.
I am in the record business and in other businesses to make money. With that, I have a sense of duty and compassion based on where I'm from.
Because heavy is the head.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, you touched on it a little bit, but I don't know if everybody else knows. Or I guess this is as good of a time to make the announcement as any. We recently partnered on a project.
Yep.
And we both put our money together.
Yep.
Purchased a business.
Yep.
That was a staple in our community.
Yep.
I'm going to let you elaborate, share a little bit about the project with our listeners and why community projects like these and businesses like these and business collaborations like these are so important to our legacy.
I was buying a fish box at Bankhead Seafood out of nostalgia. It was a place where, you know, if you was a working Joe, if you was a trapper, you could go $5, get a whole plate full of fish. You couldn't even close the plate, and it was one little 80-some-year-old lady in there cooking, whipping it by herself. Maybe she had some help one day. She made a hell of a sweet potato pie, and then
what's her name, Shay? Is it Miss Pearl? We ain't go with
Shay's stoned, I think.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Yeah. Just try and Google it right quick,
Shay,
and then we'll import it. We'll put it in there later. Go ahead.
So, 1 week we're buying, and the next week they're closed.
Right.
She just said, got too old to do it. And, you know, me and you like fast cars. And I had planned on doing some other stuff, and buy some stuff I could do donuts in to get speed tickets. And you hit me like, hey, they're selling this for this price, and let's go half on it. And it was just easy. Like, absolutely. Right. Let's do it. You know?
'Cause we had always talked about doing something together.
We always talked about it. And the thing about it, if you know your friend's popping or not, is if when given the opportunity, does your friend. Because at this point, you own a shopping center that we all grew up going to, and you own liquor store, some stuff over in the Bluff. We got apartment stuff over the Bluff. So we've done stuff around each other, but we had none done them together. But when given the opportunity, you hit me. And again, this is goes back to that, don't let the spirit of envy and why not me hit you. Because at this point, we 17, 18 years into a friendship.
Yeah.
You know, so if anybody has had a friend that long, you're going to want the best of your friend going to want the best of you. It took 16, 17 years for an opportunity to come for this to happen. And when it came, we seized it and we did it.
Sure.
Now, all of this starts to tie in together because this is just two friends who see the opportunity. We really still don't know what we're doing.
Right.
We got the opportunity. Then we do it together. And then we get a phone call from a man who saw us on the mayor's transition.
Well, see, that is the thing now. We didn't get a phone call.
Well, he approached us in the meeting.
We met a man.
Yeah. At the transition
meeting. The transition team meeting for the mayor.
Yep,
we said, on the mayor's transition team
as well.
We going to the transition team meetings, strategizing, offering initiatives to the mayor that would be important to impact the communities and the people who live in them. And on this committee, along with the CEO of Delta and others, there was a gentleman by the name of Noel Khalil.
Yep, black developer.
Who's one of the biggest minority developers.
Over 7,000 doors.
Over 7,000 doors has been developed by Mr. Noel Khalil in Columbia Development.
Absolutely.
And he approached me and Mike, actually. He approached me first, asking what we had going on.
Yep.
I took him around, showed him everything I had going on, including Bankhead Seafood. He had a development that was actually about to break ground, which I believe he's underway right now, that was across the street adjacent to Bankhead Seafood.
Yep.
And he asked me about that site. And I said, well, this is something actually that me and Mike are doing together.
Yep.
And he said, oh, that's impressive.
Yep.
You guys are doing this together? I like Mike.
Yep.
Let's set up a meeting. We should all sit down and meet.
Yep.
So then I called Mike. And I said, hey, Noel say he want to meet with us.
Yeah.
He's like, shit, I'm there. I'm on the way.
That's good.
So then we went down and we met with Noel. And what we decided was that Noel wanted to buy in and become our third partner in Bankhead Seafood, and we would, you know, conceptualize it, redevelop it, and reimagine it together.
Absolutely.
And that is what we have done up until right now.
And in that, what happens is our friendship has endured and built the trust. We both have become business-minded and businessmen and financially stable. When given an opportunity to invest together, we invested together. When given the opportunity to accept an outside investor and not only have that but have mentorship, simply because we accepted being on a transition team, he got a chance to observe us, and he didn't see two rappers. He told me. He said, I saw two businessmen and leaders in you guys.
Right.
I listened to the questions you asked. I listened to the input you gave. And even in buying in, he said, hey, guys, I'm not buying in trying to take your thing. I'm buying in for a third. You guys are friends and already have an understanding. You're always going to be able to outvote me. You know what I'm saying? So it was amazing that he took the risk.
He told you that.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He's like, no matter what happens, I know y'all got the opportunity to talk it up and figure it out before me even, but we've been very transparent with one another. The three of us talk, you know, on a weekly or bi-weekly basis.
And for us, what we talk about is, you and I, it's like, yo, We want the game.
Yeah, we want the
game. You know what I'm saying?
We want
the game.
You got two students in us.
You dig what I'm saying? We come in here to learn. Teach us what Herman Russell taught you.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
That's what we in here for.
So we
just going to sell a little fish in the meantime.
Yeah, if you don't think T.I. can be humble, you ain't seen him in a room with older gentlemen. Like, both of us be quiet
as
like some little boys.
Arrogant and pompous and audacious as I may be, I sit my ass in. And then I shit the fuck up.
And listen.
That's it. Because if you ain't smart, if you too stupid to shut up when there's smarter people in the room talking.
Absolutely.
Now, I don't give a damn how much you know, how much you've done, how much you have. You ain't shit and ain't gonna never have shit if you can't shut the fuck up when there's smarter people in the room talking about shit that you don't know.
Absolutely.
The worst thing you can do is pretend you know something that you don't.
Yeah.
You in a room full of motherfucking experts and they talk about some shit and you like, oh yeah, okay. You talking about they ain't even gonna say nothing. They just gonna stop talking, look at you.
Yep.
Look at each other and shake their head.
Nothing wrong with saying, what does that mean?
Right.
Why?
And if somebody say, know, do you know about this? No.
No.
I don't. You, tell me.
Please enlighten me. You know tip using out of me. Please enlighten
please
me.
Please enlighten me. I always tell my do you know about this? No. But please, please share. Enlighten me, please. You know what I'm saying? That's how motherfuckers get smart. That's how motherfuckers learn. The wisest man, the smartest motherfucker on earth knows that he knows nothing at all.
Forever stupid.
If you think you know everything, you will never learn nothing.
Yeah, you've
and that's the problem with most motherfuckers who are young right now. They want to feel like they know everything. They don't ever want to be corrected. They don't ever want to be instructed.
I don't even think it's just young. I think all people have gotten
that true, too. Yeah, you know, it ain't even a young thing. So I apologize to the young people out there.
Yeah.
It ain't just on y'all. Because there's some old niggas out there who act just as bad, if not worse.
Yeah, oh, man. It's crazy because it seems like people have just made up their minds. And they not willing to learn. Like, I don't ever want my mind to be so made I won't grow or be willing to try, you know, understand, see, compromise another perspective. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I've seen both of us grow in our perspectives and we become better men for it. And I've seen people not grow. You
right.
know, and that's the biggest danger to me, like not growing. I don't want to be my nightmare is on the other side of this door sometimes.
Uh-huh.
You know, I've been coming on Edgewood and sneaking downtown since I was 10 years old.
Right, right.
And I've seen many of these men grow old out here and have accomplished nothing. And the only thing worse than a young child coming up saying, Tipper might give me a dollar as an old man. You know?
I just had one. Hey, look, man, let me tell you something. You can have PK, Pretty Ken back there, man. When we get out the car, Cud walk up to me.
Yeah, I seen him.
Older dude. And he say, come on, Tip, man. The first thing he say, man, I've been waiting on you, man. Man, come on, man, help with me. I say, hey, look, bro, I got 7 kids. Which one of them you want me to tell them no to so I can say yes to you?
Yeah.
Which one of my kids you want me to turn my back on so I can fuck with you?
Yeah.
Which one of my children should I say, nah, man, you don't get this because I gave him that?
Exactly.
Which one of them should be sacrificed for you?
Especially since I know where I am. See, that's the thing about a former cocaine dealer.
You did.
You know what I'm saying?
You did.
I know the move when you come.
Man,
like,
you going to have to get yours from somewhere,
bro. Yeah, because at the end of the day, it's like every gray hair you have represents a day or week or a year you wasted. Because
right.
I know where I am.
Right.
I know my aunt lived in Capitol. I know exactly where I am.
Right.
I know what you've done. Now, that's different.
I ain't here to judge you.
Yeah, that's different from Miss Louise who come out here who a former teacher.
That's real.
And she in a wheelchair. Every time my wife see her, she hug her and slips under the hand because that's a different thing.
And I will give, but I will not give when I feel
I give you an opportunity. When I pull up, are you asking as a man?
Right.
I want you to leave with your dignity intact.
Sure.
Have you asked to wash a window?
Right.
Have you asked to take out some trash?
Right.
Have you asked to clean a tire?
Right.
Like, to me, I need you to be dignified. You know, I could buy my nephew Jordans. I think it's more important he work.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And if he works well, he gets gifted a pair of Jordans. But it's a result of his work. Not just because, hey, man, my uncle's Mike. You know what I mean? So I believe in work. Hustle, work, whatever you people call it. You have to put effort in the hustle.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? You don't just wake up, oh, I'm a hustler, and it happened. You start with a 50.
Right.
You trap. You sacrifice going
to
crucial.
You get up to a quarter.
You get up
half,
to the cutie.
Whole,
exactly.
Doing a baby.
And next thing you know, you're
four
doing this.
And a half,
you know what I'm saying?
All, so on and so forth.
And so that takes precedent over give me something. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's a phenomenal principle, and I think that you do so well. And our job is not to just give money and go on.
Nah.
You know what I'm saying? That's giving a motherfucker a fish for a day.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of teaching them how to.
I want to give you something, man, that you could take out here and motivate yourself and inspire yourself to go out and do better than you were doing and have been doing.
The snacks that we have here today, what's the man named? Benny? Is it Benny? That brother,
Big Mouth Ben,
used to live under the bridge. So he used to live under the bridge here, and he was suffering from addiction and being homeless. Brother got himself together, then put on 20, 30 pounds on his own convenience store now and donated this stuff to us tonight. Now, tomorrow, I'm going to send somebody around there to buy a whole bunch of shit
right on.
From his store.
Right.
Because when people take that, you know, people are fond of telling us what we can't be done. Oh, Tip and Mike, y'all rappers, y'all special. Y'all got y'all Rolexes, y'all cars. But they didn't see when Tip was running around in the Suburban. Man. They didn't see when he was taking the in-the-streets tapes.
Fuck the Suburban. When I was in the Blazer bunch, with the one car door, motherfucking car door didn't work. Yeah. I had to hop over to the passenger side to get out.
Yeah,
Dukes of Hazzard, that motherfucker.
And they didn't care about that tip. And they still don't
care. My door was bolted shut.
Exactly. So
on the goddamn driver's side, man.
I'm like,
down. Nobody seen that, bro. Nobody.
My Deuce LaCorda, I remember the headliner fell out of the Deuce LaCorda. And sitting there be spraying as I'm driving.
Man, look. You know? Check this out, right? I had a date. I had a car. No, I had a car. My car had a Cadillac 4100 Sedan DeVille. 4100 is an aluminum motor. If you ever had a Cadillac, 4100 is
boss.
The absolute worst ones to have. 4100 is an aluminum motor that always run hot. You can't drive that motherfucker from here to the corner without putting motherfucking antifreeze and water in the radiator. Now, listen. This particular Cadillac was gifted to me by my OG partner Slim, who was my mama's ex-boyfriend. Now, Slim gave me this car, man. Now, the car was already on his last leg. But he said, man, you can have this motherfucker as long as you can keep it running.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? As long as you can keep it running, you can have it. And his thing was, I just hope you keep it running long enough to hustle up enough to get you
another one.
But I had this date that I had to go on, right? I remember the young lady name, but I'm not going to say it. She was a dancer at Strokers, and I patronized with her, and we had some laughs about this.
Yeah.
But I had a date with her. I went to pick her up. Now, the thing about this car, this 4100, I had already made sure I put water in the, and made sure I had antifreeze. I had water in the radiator. I was ready for my date. But I go pick her up. And on my way to pick her up, I noticed that there was a problem. The problem was that the gas pedal would get stuck. The gas pedal would get stuck, and you have to stomp on the gas pedal to kind of let it back up.
It'll pop
back up, and you'll be cool. And I'm like, okay, well, I know how to fix it, so I ain't tripping.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go, right? Go pick her up. We ride down Cascade, like over by the beautiful, down those side streets up by the park. What's the name of that damn park?
Johnny White. I think it's Johnny White.
Up there by where Miss Louise Hornsby and them live.
Yeah.
All right, so we going, is it DeLo? I believe is.
Yeah, DeLo is to the left.
When DeLo cross over, Camelton Road, and then you keep going up past that park.
Yeah, yeah.
And then that street take you all the way out, spit you out on Cascade.
Exactly.
So
it's
we going.
Beautiful little neighborhood you do.
Yeah. So we going down them streets. I hit the corner, and I notice when I hit the gas, oh shit, it's stuck.
When I hit the corner,
you know, I turned the corner. So after I've turned the corner, after I hit the gas again
coming out of the corner,
I noticed it was stuck. And I'm looking at her. She don't know nothing. So I'm stomping the motherfucker. It got faster. Oh, shit. What am I going to do? And mind you, you know, on those streets, there are a series of stop signs.
Yeah.
So I'm coming up on my first stop sign. The pedal is basically to the floor. And if you know when a car is revving up, high going fast, motherfucker, and you trying to hit the gas, you trying to hit the brake and slow it down while the gas pedal is all the way down, it is a very uncomfortable feeling in this car. And she sensed something was wrong, and she looked over to me, and she said, are we okay?
Oh,
and I say, yeah, we fine. And I'm basically, like I'm riding a horse. I'm standing up on the brake trying to get this motherfucker to stop. When we finally got to that stop sign, I slowed down my version of stopping. She opened the door and hopped out the car.
No.
It never came to a complete stop. It came to a very slow roll. I might have got it down to maybe about 5 to 10.
And she jumped on out of there.
She opened the door and rolled out of the car. and maybe halfway down the street, I stomped it and it stopped. And I did not turn around. I kept going. You hopped out the car on me. You hopped out the car on me.
You didn't believe.
You didn't believe. You hopped out the car on me. You asked were we okay, and I said we were.
Okay. Why you a champion, man?
Hey, listen, man. I mean, literally, she didn't say I'm about to go or let me out or nothing. She said, are we okay? I said, yes, it'll be fine. But when we slowed down slow enough at the stop sign, she hopped out the car. And down the street, I turned around, I looked back, and I kept going.
I love
And listen, next time I saw her, I was T.I.
Oh, man.
And she was in strokers. And we had a very healthy, a hearty laugh about that. We had a very hearty laugh.
That's
she said,
dope.
I should have stayed in the car.
Stayed in the car, man.
You know what I'm saying?
Should have stayed in the car.
It's lessons like that we get to learn in Atlanta on our journey.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Shouts out to Cash from Jazzy T's.
Okay.
If it weren't for Cash, I might not have a record deal.
Man, shouts out to Kanye.
Yeah, man.
Shouts out to Kanye. Kanye was the first person to put me in a studio. Me and my next door neighbor, we was in a so-called rap group. You know, he was dark skin, I was light skin.
Yeah. Y'all like the new Crit Cross.
Yeah, exactly. Right when Crit Cross was real, like it was, I think maybe the second album, The Bomb, had came.
Yeah.
And you know, we were dope. I was dope. He was dope. I had a candy business. I had a very healthy candy operation.
I heard you slung on Eminem.
Yeah, man. But I was still pursuing my rap career, but I didn't have a way to get in the studio.
Yeah.
I was just writing raps and freestyling at cafeteria tables and all that shit. He had found a studio. Yes, he said, man, it's a man in the apartments up on Washington Road, they got a studio. I say, man, you bullshit. He say, no, I'll take you. Let's go find it.
Yeah.
So he knew what apartments, but he didn't know what apartment. So we went, and this is, they were called Hampshire House at the time on Camp Creek up by the airport.
Yeah.
Next to Pine Crossing and Diplomat and all that shit.
Yeah.
So we walked through the trails of Pine Crossing, crossed over Washington Road up into, I don't know what they were called,
It wasn't Camelot, was it? Camelot was on.
I think Camelot was on Old National.
Yeah, so
but
old
anyway,
National.
So on Washington Road.
Is it either townhouse or apartment? Because this is a set of townhouses a dude had.
Nah, it's apartments. Okay. I know the townhouses.
Okay.
Not
the townhouse
there.
Dude had a studio in there too.
Yeah, but the next set.
Big apartment complexes.
Okay, so we get there, and we walk around, and it took us about 2-3 hours to actually make this hike. And we get there, and we walk around looking, and we see some teenage dudes with bald heads like Onyx.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying? Look like they were dressed in fatigues and shit coming out. I say, that's it right there.
Yeah.
And so we walk up there, knock on the door, me and him. Mind you, man, I'm 6th grade, 12 years old?
Yeah.
And you think I got a baby face now. I look like a little bitty fucking boy.
Boy.
And knocked on the door, and Kanye come to the door. And then I think my partner, he got scared. He got, like, shy. He dipped off. And I say, it's a studio in there.
You sound like one of the water boy.
It's a studio in there. And he say, man, what you gonna do? What's up? Yeah, it's a studio in here. What's happening? I say, well, I want to rap. And Kanye say, well, come on in. And he opened up the door and let me in there. And it wasn't much. It was a 4-track and a mic. And he had a sampler and a drum machine and turntables and shit. And that was the first time I was allowed or had an opportunity to actually make it into a studio and actually hear myself, record myself on tape.
Yeah.
That was Kanye, who later became one of the most prestigious club runners in the city, from Jazz's Tees, the Blazers Saddles.
Yeah.
And, you know, He was just a real solid stand-up dude, man.
Man, Cool Running was that for me.
Yeah.
Cool Running was the person who introduced me to Goose.
Cool Running actually was the one who worked under Kanye.
Cool ran Jazzy T's. Might have been on there, but Cool, I met a chick named Cash
right.
and Jazzy T's, and she was instrumental in me. Big Boy them didn't go to Decatur. They were from the South Side.
Right. So I have that in me, too. I don't really get the chance to make it out to Decatur.
My mama lives in the deck. So
gotcha.
As much as I was on the west side, between Adamville, Bankhead, just the whole west, even on up to the west end, my auntie stuff lived. My mom lived in the cab. So on the weekends, I went to my mom's house. So I had just as many homeboys who went to Southwest Decatur and Columbia
right.
as I did. So I ended up spending so much time out there. I probably frequented Jazzy T's as much as I did the Flame,
right?
You know, or Strokers.
Well, I went to Jazzy T's. But several times.
The Dance is Elite, the old Dance is Elite,
right?
And because I kicked it with her, she put me on the game. She blessed me when I was down bad a few times. But she is the person that set up the actual VIP night that
okay.
Big and all of us went out there. When he let me come back to the studio and rap that night,
right.
It was after we took him to the Flame and heard about five girls in VIP sex. They just gave Torn and everybody, his whole entourage, a hell of a night. And I never got a chance to thank her because in some way, something happened. I ended up shitting on her and leaving.
Oh, man.
Not in a bad way, just like it was bound not to work. And I appreciate her, though, because
right.
it really, people don't understand the juke joint energy that exists.
Yeah.
You know, it's a real energy in these clubs. Like, these women bring your records to life.
That's real.
You know, which is why I've always supported, you know, not only just supported by tipping, but, you know, if the girls want to form a union, if they, you know, if they got events and stuff, the entertainment community's been
You know what
good.
They need?
What?
And I was speaking to the homie, Big Game.
Yeah.
Big Will about this. They really need a 401k.
Yeah, yeah.
There should be a damn 401k retirement plan for strippers.
Yeah, because they go
Why
hard.
Why in the hell is you making all this money at this point in your life and you know that you will not be able to do this for forever? Why not put at least $100 a week?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Towards something that could accumulate and grow and be there for you when you no longer shaking ass and showing titties.
One of the biggest mistakes I see is a lot of them call it the trap now, and they should learn a lesson from the trap. The trap is, you know, it sounds sexy, but part of the trap was we wasted a lot of time and money because we didn't invest.
Right.
You know, we bought Nikes and should have bought Nike stock too, you know, and things of that nature. So I think that they should learn a lesson from the trap. And because their business is legitimate, it's not illegal.
That's real.
And you should be consistent. A lot of us failed at the trap because we weren't consistent. You know, you didn't go, you didn't put in your time, you made enough money to go to the club, you left and clubbed instead right. of making some investment money. So I think it's some lessons to be learned. And a lot of these young ladies, though, are brilliant. Like, a lot of them have counseled and hollered at Shane. I've seen chicks open up in the last 2 years, stores, massage businesses, wig and lace fronts. Like, I've seen sisters, food delivery, right. catering services.
Absolutely.
So I'm glad to know
it
my
has
money.
Definitely stimulated
yeah.
the entrepreneurial efforts
absolutely.
Of young black women
absolutely.
Everywhere.
And I support. And I don't mean that in a
not even just black women, people of color.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you got, you know what I'm saying, you got Latinos as well.
Yeah,
who,
yeah. Even the Asian girl who were in the
group. Absolutely.
I refused to dance on the show, but after the show was over, I definitely
the Asian
danced.
Girl with the butt shirt.
Yeah, we went all the way to the Orient, but yeah. we went. It was a ain't beautiful no, experience.
And ain't nothing wrong with that, man.
Love.
You know what I'm saying?
And nah,
speaking
love.
Of your show,
Trigger Warning.
Trigger Warning was a hit and was really unlike anything else on TV.
Dave Chappelle complimented me on it.
And that's a jewel.
Oh, man, I almost cried. I almost did a backflip.
That's a damn jewel.
Yeah, man, he complimented me.
That's
man.
Awesome. Now, people thought it was brilliant. I mean, much to the credit of people like Dave Chappelle and so on and so forth, myself included.
Thank
Congratulations
you.
On that. Tell me, what was the funniest comedy stunt you did on the show?
Oh, the funniest thing was right around the corner when we went to a credit union, and I was pretty sure we weren't going to get it, but I had to walk the guys through the process. You have to get over the process of being told no.
Right.
When you're walking your demo and playing it for people,
right.
you're going to get
you're
told no.
You're talking about the Crippa Cola.
Exactly.
Talk about the Crip-a-Cola. Absolutely. When you got the Crips together, yeah, and say, man, you think the Crips should have a cola.
Absolutely. And it's coming to market in a few weeks.
Actually. That's dope as shit.
Yeah. So we had to go ask for a loan. We were asked for a $100,000 loan,
right,
to produce. So people say, why hasn't it come out? Because we had to get up the means to produce it.
Can I invest? I would like to invest.
All right, cool.
I would like to invest.
Definitely should chop it up right after
right
the show.
Right on. Shaves, there, PowerPoint, business plan. You know what I'm saying? There are projections.
Yeah.
Do you have projections? Is that distribution in place already?
Yeah, we got Exotic Pop is going to be the distributor.
Okay, excellent, excellent.
But the cool thing is we went and sat and we basically had to give it out because, you know, they want
to
know your profit and loss, your
absolutely
tax return.
Absolutely.
And we had to sit there and be dead serious.
Right.
And pitching it, and when
niggas who ain't really never really done no legitimate business like this before.
When they start
but God bless you for even being willing to step out there and go through that experience with them, cushion that blow for them. Yeah. Because they would have never did it on their own out of the sheer... Just the reluctancy of going through that alone and having
absolutely
to be embarrassed,
absolutely,
or feel ashamed.
It's bad. Yeah, it hurt.
So for you to actually go through that with them was real commitment.
Yeah, and we didn't.
And it was good TV too.
Now the funny thing again, connectivity.
Okay,
I'm in Peaches,
mm,
and the girl says, "Mike, you didn't see me in the bank." I'm like, "No, I didn't see you." And then she was like, I was like, oh, you had clothes on. I'm sorry. She was like, man, I felt so bad for you and the guys. I really wanted it to work. I was like, yeah, I did too. Can I get 5 dances now? You know what I'm saying? But
damn.
But she was cheering for us. But again, it's just the connectivity in Atlanta is amazing. That we got told no, but that said we were given.
But that didn't stop you.
No, and we were educated. The man who told us no then told the guys, well, this is what you got to do to meet your mark. And we've since made a ways to make them to meet that mark, and it went into production. You know, so
right.
You know, it's a protracted struggle. You know, people have to understand that. The King of the South started off, quote unquote, first album flopping.
Absolutely.
The King of the South never gave up
that's
on himself.
That's the thing.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, I remember our friendship when my first album wasn't doing well and you were fresh off of Grammy and making, and we were still partners.
Yeah, because my partner
never felt,
was,
yeah.
My admiration for my partner ain't based on how well he did it.
But
did.
Other people need to know that and see it.
Yeah, my partner.
Because a lot of that shit be based on, you know,
what you can do for me, how well you doing,
if you a good look for me to be around and all that
you're
old
just
shit.
My raw rapping ass partner.
Absolutely. And that's what young people need to know.
Yeah, I love Meek. I don't know Meek first from MMG. I know Meek first from Grand Hustle.
Right.
And I saw you encourage him every step of the way. I saw you encourage him in MMG.
Yeah,
you know
I tell people all the time, that was my fault. I fucked that up.
Yeah.
I fucked that up. When I went to prison the second time, you know what I'm saying, he was ready right then.
Yeah.
And I was locked up. And I put myself in prison.
But what?
I put myself in prison the second time. And I don't want my transgressions. I never
to
want
hold anyone else.
My wrongdoing, the shortcoming, my fuck ups to hold nobody else up and hinder their progress. And he said straight up, man, shit, they ready right now. You know what I'm saying? And they waiting on me. And I said, bro, do what you got to do.
And I've seen you do that, though, with several people. Like, you know, Beat Billionaire, dope-ass producer.
Yeah.
I've seen you encourage people to make the best steps.
For them.
For themselves. And that's something that
because at the end of the day, I want them all to know.
Absolutely.
When it all comes falling down.
Yeah.
And everything is in ruins. Yeah. Come hell or high water. If it ain't nothing else, I still got a T.I.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You dig what I'm saying? Absolutely. See, you ain't got no T.I.
Yeah.
So you got to do what you got to do right goddamn now. And that's what, okay, I can be a little more patient.
Yep.
I could take more risks.
Yep. Yep.
Because I still have a T.I. to fall back on.
Absolutely.
So I don't want to force my comfort and security in who I am and what I know I can do on you.
Yeah.
And for me, I'm so proud of what he's become.
Oh,
and
man.
The one thing that would have pissed me off If I would have told him to go on here and do his thing, and he would have went and still never did nothing but the same shit that he could have been doing if he was there with us.
Now, you called it, bro.
He went, and him and Ross, they built a dynasty.
Absolutely.
You dig what I'm saying? And I'm proud of that, and I'm proud to be even indirectly associated or in conjunction to it. I tell him all the time.
I've seen you be a selfless human being more times than not. And just goes back to our friendship. Can you be cocky and arrogant? Absolutely. You skinny like
I am. I'm a motherfucker. I know my worth.
Yeah, any nigga
know your value.
King of the South.
Know your goddamn value.
Yeah, yeah. And I,
you know
and
what I'm saying?
But it's never intimidated me. I've seen other people be intimidated by it.
That's a reflection of, one of my favorite books, The Four Agreements, that is a reflection of how they feel about themselves.
Yeah, had nothing to do with you.
Had nothing to do with me. The reason why you aren't intimidated by me because you always knew that you were the shit yourself.
Yeah, so I didn't have a reason to be intimidated.
You dig what I'm saying? You never felt threatened or intimidated. You never felt, and no one should.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so. But that takes a lot. Like, my wife always says, she said, y'all West Side niggas different. You know what I'm saying? So whether it's me, you, KP, so she said all the time, she was like, girl, all them niggas think they the shit. All them niggas gonna treat they women like, you know what I'm saying? That's just her thing. She y'all niggas is a special
man.
Kind of
I always
crowd.
Say, man, I tell my woman, listen, man, if a woman want anything other than me, she don't want shit out of life.
No.
you know what I'm saying? And a woman don't want me, don't want shit out of life. I'm just convinced of that.
Like, what if I do? Where you gonna find another nigga like me?
I'm just telling you. Good luck. You go right ahead and try.
Find them country chumps and hope they can do some
shit. I'm just saying. Yeah. I don't give a damn how snazzy that shit seems in
never
the
beginning. Gonna find
it'll
another
never meme. Amount to the likes of such.
Come on, man. I could curse,
you know what I mean? Okay. All right. Listen, Mike. Now, check this out, man. Now, you know what I'm saying? While we're here, we have to discuss and tell the people, all the people who need a great pair of wireless earbuds, because everybody needs them, especially when you're listening to our music. If you listen to T.I.P., Killer Mike, or Run the Jewels, you're going to need a great pair of motherfucking headphones. Now, before you go dropping hundreds of dollars on a pair, what you need to do is check out the wireless earbuds from Raycon. That's right, Raycon. That is a digital wireless a technology company owned by a black man in Ray J, a brother that I know and have known for quite some time. Okay, now Raycon earbuds start at about half price of any other premium wireless earbud on the market, and they sound amazing. Okay, the company was actually co-founded by Ray J. I just told you that, but I tell you again because it's important. And celebrities like Snoop Dogg, Cardi B, Brandy, J.R. Smith are already obsessed with them. Raycon's E50 wireless earbuds have totally changed the game for me, as they will for you. Now, they're so comfortable and easy to take anywhere. Now, unlike any of your other wireless options, Raycon earbuds are both stylish and discreet with no dangling wires or stems. And of course, they don't just look great, they sound good too. Of course, I'm going to support Ray J because I know him personally, and I support black businesses. And, I think he has motivated me to support his brand personally, just by how much he supports his own brand. And it starts with you. So as much as he believes in that brand, I have to give it a try, because if I know him, and I don't think that he'd just be supporting some bullshit. If you know Ray J like I know Ray J, and you believe in his movement like I believe in it, then you go and buy you some Raycon earbuds. All right. Now, with that being said, this is Expeditiously. Back to the conversation. Now, we were talking about Trigger Warning. I know we got carried away a little bit, as we do. But in an episode, right, there was one episode where you asked if a rap supergroup comprising a Native American activist, a white supremacist, and a gay Puerto Rican songwriter.
Mario. Shouts out to Mario.
If they could help heal U.S. society.
Yeah. I was trying to put together a group that.
Was that exchange like?
Well, it was cool to the white boy called himself a nigga. Then the room got quiet. But you know what, man?
How did you feel about that?
I don't care. You know, I'm like Stokely Carmichael with a white man. You know, being racist, essentially is paraphrasing what he's saying, but it doesn't matter to me. What matters is if you have the power to enforce that racism. You know, so I don't. Poor white people don't scare me. They poor. They white.
Yeah.
What they gonna do?
Yeah. All they have is their words.
Yeah, that's it. So, yeah. For me,
I feel like that's what a white man do. Like a white man call a nigga a nigga. A white man call a white man gives racist rhetoric and calls black people niggas when that's all they have left.
That's it. And you know,
like if you look at these people on when, like even right now when people hold up their phones and look at these white women when they when they have clearly lost the argument.
Yeah,
they have no
bigger.
More points to
that's
prove.
It. That's all they got.
Dead to the motherfucking wrong, and the last thing they have is nigga.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's like when you marry your wife and finally you say bitch. Now, something's going to come flying right after that. After you just said fucking bitch, let's all this.
Man, so, you do that?
I tried it.
Well, you got
it. It didn't go well for me.
Well, I mean, I've experienced it as well.
Yeah, I got hit.
It didn't work for me neither.
It don't go well.
It didn't feel very good.
Yeah,
It didn't feel very good. It wasn't as empowering as I thought it would
be it did
when it came to mind.
The bed get a little colder, food don't get cooked. Like, I'm just like, probably not going to say this one again.
Yeah, this wasn't worth the struggle.
Then the next year roll around, you do it again.
This was struggle with no progress.
You know, I've always admired your love for your wife.
Man,
I can remember in the early days, I was supposed to be on Tip's second album, and I don't know what happened, but
what the fuck happened?
You were headed down to Tamika's house. You said, I'm headed down to Tamika's house to record. I think you were doing something with Ball and G or something.
Okay.
And you was like, come on down. I want you to get on something.
Bezel.
It might have been.
Yeah.
But I couldn't get on the record because I had to make a pivot or a move with Big or something. And I didn't, when I got back, I didn't call you to do it.
Right.
Next thing I know, the album was wrapped. So if I got any music regret, it's just that I didn't do that. Because again, you was one of my favorite rappers and my homie already.
Right,
but the fact that in your reclusion from the industry, that you and your, at that time she was your girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
That you and her figured it out, and she was a support to you. And I've seen y'all walk that all the way through. I just cheer for y'all. You know, like people often talk about Shay and I being friends and examples, but I've seen that in my homies around me. I see it in you. I see it in Bear Loke and his wife.
Right.
I see it in Big and his wife. And I try to surround myself around a circle of men like the men I want to be. Like
right.
I knew Andy and his first wife, Jean. Like that's what that's one of the things I truly admire about you. You know, I don't care what
But don't admire it about me because she's doing most of the work.
You know what I'm saying? I admire about y'all.
Well, I mean...
you guys have always...
I'm hell. You know what I mean?
Shit, nigga, I know what you're saying. I'm from where you
from. So anybody who can endure hell... you know, they deserve all the praise.
And I admire her. You know, and I admire y'all, and I admire y'all family. And what y'all produce, and I love y'all.
Thank you, man. We love y'all, man. Yeah. It's definitely a mutual respect and mutual admiration. Now, let's get into the fun stuff.
That's the fun stuff.
This is the part where we speak about current events, hot topics.
Okay.
And things that matter to us right now. We had a hell of a weekend.
Yeah.
By the way, we are filming in Killer Mike's swag shop.
Yeah.
You know, which
and
is...
co-owner with Shay Vigor.
Okay, well, what's yours is hers and hers is yours, so...
Yeah. Hey, I just always say that because when I get home, I hear that shit.
Don't worry about that.
Oh, nigga, you own the shop by yourself? No, it's Shay Vigor's shop.
Hey, look, though, I'm just teasing.
I'm just teasing. She don't be true.
You the co-owner of all her purses and shit, too. Then.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? That's what they don't want. They want to be co-owner of all our shit, but don't want to call us co-owner of their shit. Now, you know, people don't really know, and I'm going to say this before we get into the current topics. So people really don't know that what started the rivalry between Lo and myself. First, let's start off back to what I said before. I knew Carlos or Los from when he was pulling up the dub, 18 years old, fresh out of school, big time street guy, a phenomenal drug dealer.
Yeah, he had made it.
You dig what I'm saying? Candy painted Monte Carlo on Triple Gold D, and I always looked at him like, damn, that's the goal.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's where we headed. And me, you know, my drug dealing day, man, I made a lot of money, but I didn't get to keep much of it. you know what I'm saying? Sure. I didn't get to stack up to $100,000. Yeah. I might have made it to some 10s and 20s and 30s enough to buy a big bomb of dope and do it all again just to goddamn probably go to jail. You know what I'm saying? So I didn't really have a phenomenal career as a drug dealer, but I did learn a lot of phenomenal lessons.
Absolutely.
One of these lessons, I was riding my bike up and down South Grand, Bankhead, Cedar Ave, Baker Road, selling crack all day and night. That was my thing. I wasn't the weight man. I was the dime man. I would buy a quarter key
and bust it,
and bust it all the way down the dime. All the way down. I don't want to sell no slabs. I don't want to sell no quarters.
Dime.
I don't want to be known as the weight man.
Well, the dime,
I want the money. Yeah.
Okay.
Want the big dimes when they couldn't fit in the bags. Absolutely. Yeah. So at this time, I was, you know, I guess going through a phase in my mind where I felt like, man, I need to get the keys. I need to make it the keys. I keep buying these two and a quarter, four and a half.
And
I need to get the keys. And I used to see, I would ride my bike up at a Silver Fox and shit like that, out the plaza and shit like that. And I see Los. And he didn't know me, but I knew him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I probably, you know, worked my way up net to him, talk shit to motherfuckers around him to the point where I could say, shit, man, we need to goddamn, you know, we need to fuck around. You know what I'm saying? We should fuck around, da 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 da. And, you know, he kind of brushed me off and basically told me, get my weight up. And so I did. I didn't get upset. Yeah. I didn't, you know, bark and cry. I took that in motivation and I went and got my weight up. Cut two, the snap movement, D4L, you know, this is going on. I was asked by him to get on a song.
Get on a record, yeah.
I did not think that record was dope.
Yeah.
Now, just as you said earlier.
Anybody who knows you know that you're not fun to fucking around with whack records, and you don't really fuck with non-rappers. Like,
yeah, I'm not very patient with... Like, it's just so I just ain't gonna fuck with it if I feel like it ain't of the production value or the quality.
And you've always been like
the regard that I hold myself, the standard I hold myself to.
Absolutely.
And so I said no. And they just, and I think he was asking through Clay. And this is, I didn't know that Low from D4L, shouted Low from D4L, was Los.
Oh, Carlo. Yo, Carlo.
With Carlos from the Monte Carlo and the D's at the time. I did not know this. You see what I'm saying? So they asking me to do the record. I'm like, nah. Then finally I get tired of here. I say, all right, well, tell them $50,000 then. And Clay took that back to him. Obviously, they took offense to that. And Low was upset. You know what I'm saying? And so then that's when the feud started.
Yeah.
And once I found out who it was, I was like, well, wait a minute. When we had our interaction, when you was up and I asked you, and you basically told me to get my weight up, I took that as motivation. And I felt like it should have been reciprocated, or it should have been felt understood when the shoe was on the other foot. In hindsight, just looking at it, had I known who he was, I would have did the record.
That's dope.
I would have did the record. Had I known that was the same Los, I would have did the record. But when I found out that was the same person, I didn't feel bad about not doing the record.
I understand.
You see what I'm saying? Because I felt like when the shoe was on the other foot, I took mine's
on the chin,
carried the load, and made a way.
Now, what's crazy is you telling him no actually ignited some type of fire in him, because he put out a better album than D4L even.
Now check this out.
That was crazy to me. Though, 'cause you gotta say, I know Carlos from fights in high school,
right,
and becoming a successful drug dealer. That's right. But I know him from there, and I'm just like, I'm the man. Like, I'm like, goddamn, this shit sound all right. And it was the fact that he wasn't a rapper, and he didn't know how to ride a beat, and it was slightly off kilter. That's what made the shit dope.
Right.
But I was like, can he do it again? And he got with Monte and he did it again. But all that came out of the fire of him trying to, having to prove it to you.
Man.
So you guys' relationship of that.
So you basically, you saying I pushed him to do better
absolutely
by not doing the record.
Taking the note. Yeah, right, absolutely you right. did. Absolutely you did.
Well, I used to look at it like that.
And he became.
He did become much better.
Not even became much better. He became much better at his own style.
And he came into his own, like,
absolutely.
Like persona, image,
absolutely.
And, like, the presentation of his art.
And you only good as the fighters you fought. Because you guys did that, the West Side still love both y'all.
Absolutely.
But, you know,
I
believe at all.
I still have an incredible amount of admiration, love, and respect for Cub.
Absolutely.
I always will,
and
you know.
But what was crazy, and what is crazy, is that it's so beloved by the neighborhood. Even
right.
the rivalry is so beloved that it has enabled him to live forever.
Right on.
Like, Shawty Low is going to forever be a part of West Side mythology.
As he should.
Based on the rivalry.
Right.
Yeah, and I just love, because I was friends with both of y'all.
Right on.
And that's not something I
And our
say.
Friendship was never compromised by that.
Yeah, I don't
you
think
know
so.
What I'm
no,
saying?
Absolutely
Ever.
Not. And I,
but
and,
even he and I spoke. We used to, even in the height of the rivalry, in the midst of the beef, we used to talk on the phone.
Yeah.
We used to talk on the phone.
Yeah.
Like, we'd be in the club, standing across from one
yeah.
another, section to section. And we would never get into it.
Yeah, the homies.
But he would send people over to my section to fight my guys. I'd send people over to his section to hit one of his guys in the face. Like, all this shit went on. But we would always look at each other and be like, yeah, okay, I see you. I see you. All right, but we would have conversations.
Yeah.
I think that was an award show. And there was an award show. We both were there. I don't remember where the award show was, down by the airport somewhere. And we both were there, and it was the first, like, it was like a real big physical altercation that neither one of us was involved in.
Yeah.
He nor I. But we both kind of sent our soldiers, man, shit, go goddamn wreak some havoc. Y'all gonna fuck it up. And guess what? While they fucking it up, he got ushered to a place, I got ushered to a place, and here we are standing together.
Next. Hey, y'all
standing
gotta,
right next to each other.
Y'all gotta be.
After we done sent our gangs to go fight each
y'all
other.
Y'all
now
be,
here we are standing next to each other talking.
You gotta be from the West Side to understand that.
Hey,
like, that really is a West Side shit.
That
man.
Shit, and you know what, man? And his thing was, you know, all you got on me is you could talk. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All you could do that I can't is you could talk. And I say, well, why don't you learn how to talk then? You know what I'm saying?
What?
And he had the look on his face like, see, that why I don't, you know what I mean? That's why I don't fuck with you.
He really did have love and
But
respect.
The funny part, of, and I had love and respect for him.
Absolutely.
I always did. I never even got a chance to tell him that I was the same guy that he...
That he told no.
I never got a chance to tell him that.
Crazy. People don't understand how soft-spoken he was, too.
Yeah. He was a real low-key dude.
He was real low-key.
And that's why he made it so long in the game that he was in.
Exactly.
Because he was able to stay low-key and fly below the
absolutely,
radar.
Absolutely.
But look, though, the funny shit about that rivalry is even after I told him no and after he was a rivalry in his head that I ain't know nothing about, or a rivalry amongst, you know, D4L, amongst the guys that I didn't know anything about because I, you know, my success had taken me to places where I just didn't see, hear, or feel much
of the pressure
anymore.
Absolutely.
I was so high up.
Absolutely.
I just couldn't. I was numb to it, oblivious to it all. I didn't see it until it was in my face.
The lawn chair in front of the Boeing home sounds pretty fucking different.
Man, well, thank you. Well, look, I'm going to tell you how we get to
that.
At that
point, like, I'm looking at the TV like, man, he's an asshole.
I'm going to tell you how we get to that.
Like, I'm just like, you my partner, and I know, no, but I'm just like, man, that little yellow nigga's an asshole,
I'm going to tell you how we get to that. I'm so oblivious to everything going on around me, I'm going to tell you. We were in Club Crucial, my club.
Yeah.
It's my club. Shawty Low is in there doing a song. And it's the bump, 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 bump. They know.
Yeah.
It was the first time I heard They Know.
Bump, bump, bump. Yeah,
bump, 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 bump.
Yeah, yeah.
First time I heard They Know. And he's up there, he performing it, he doing the dance.
Yeah.
And he got that motherfucker rocking. And I went up, and after that, I walked up to the stage. From my section, I walk up to the stage and I say, now this shit is jamming. This is a hit. Now you got yourself something here. This is the one. And he dapped me, didn't tell me the record was about me. And I had no way of knowing. I did not know. I just thought it was a dope ass song. I thought that motherfucker was jamming on the one. And I told him, and he dapped me and smiled, and I walked off and went on by my business, not even knowing. I'm so up. I'm up so high. I'm so rich. I'm so motherfucking oblivious. Yeah, I don't even know this motherfucker's making a record about you in your club. This motherfucker in your club in your face doing a record about you, and you just dapped him and told him that shit was dope.
Oh, man.
It wasn't until I was on house arrest that I found out about this. I had caught my case. Now I'm on house arrest. Can't leave the house. And all I'm doing is just watching shit, researching shit.
Yeah.
I ain't got shit else to do. Reading and motherfuckers say, man, Shawty Low dished you. I'm like, what? He dished you? He dished me? Why? What song? And they sent me the song. I'm like, this is the fucking song I heard. I know. And I was livid at that point. Ooh, I was so upset.
Oh,
I felt like, hey, man.
Man.
Hey, man.
Oh, man.
I apoplectic.
I know you too.
I was apoplectic. And I could not, and the song that I made in rebuttal to that was What's Up, What's Happening.
Yeah.
And that was also a little bit in Live Your Life, just a little sprinkle.
Yeah.
But the song I dedicated to that situation was What's Up, What's Happening. A song that I made in my sleep. I made this song in my sleep. And people don't believe me when I say this. Like, sometimes, you know how you be sleep and you be dreaming.
Yeah.
And you have certain phrases or words. I made that entire hook and the first four bars of the verse in my sleep. I woke up.
Wrote it or woke up and got it.
No, Elliot was downstairs. Because when I was, he kind of camped out because he knew that on all time, he'd rather be there than me get up, call him at 3 a.m. and say, man, come on, I want to record. So he was kind of camped out. In the basement, in the studio, I got up, went down there, and recorded that shit. Right then and there, just like that. And as my situation kind of got down, you know, it neutralized itself.
Yeah.
Then I was able to actually work on an album and produce my shit and actually market it. The lawn chair in front of Born Home were mandatory. I was going to be even more egregious. I had an actor and all kinds of shit that
always
I was going to do.
Go over
and,
the top.
And now, you know who told me? You know who told me not to do that shit? After I had, this is the same day.
Yeah.
Same day I had the lawn chair in front of the Born Home sign. The same day. I was shooting a video, and also there's another scene in the video where I'm riding the bikes through the hood.
Yeah.
In that scene, when I'm riding them bikes, you don't see it because the camera's on me. You see me riding the bike, and I'm throwing my hand up, and you don't really see what my hand is doing, but I'm shooting the bird. I rode right past his studio, and him and the guys were out there. I wrote right past the studio, him, I don't know if Fabo, Lil Maul. Like,
might have been Moot B or somebody might have.
It could have been Moot B, all them. They was all out there.
All good.
And I rode by, and I, you know what I'm saying, shot my bird through the west side. It kept pushing, and I'm sure they'd heard.
Yeah.
Man, this motherfucker was shooting a video.
And boy home.
So by the time they got there, of course, we were done. I was gone. You know what I mean? But they was out there like, man, that motherfucker did what? And they're like, dad, that motherfucker go right there. I come riding my bike. Hey, man.
This is what it means to be wet.
But cut to. After all that said and done, I went to prison, came back home for the second time.
Yeah.
I'm on my workout shit at this time.
Remember you doing the push-ups with the weight, doing the push-up.
But that was before I went to prison. I was just playing with it at that time.
Yeah.
I'm talking about when I went to prison, I actually developed a real routine and a regimen for working out. I came home, my cousins, Rashad, Damar, Raquel, Javon was too fat and lazy. but we used to work out all the time. And in my subdivision, I live on a lake. I live out and moved on in this subdivision because it's the only place where I could have a boat in my backyard and jet skis and shit.
When I walked down, I remember saying, this nigga got a lake.
And so it's a prestigious community. And I'm right at the bottom of my hill.
Too, right?
Huh? Nah, this is not. This is where my wife went and bought a house when she got mad at me. She went and bought a house in a gated golf course community, and they another house we got.
Okay.
But anyway, so this particular house, I'm out there. We doing our cardio, running sprints, and I see a car pull up, and people get out. It's cameras and shit. I don't know what the fuck going on, and I look. Is that Low?
It's Carlos.
That's Low. So we stopped working out and just looked like, what the fuck are they doing?
He moving out there too.
So he walked up, he was shooting a TV show.
Okay.
So he walks up to, he kind of like, we saw each other, we spoke.
Yeah.
And then we kind of motioned each other. We met each other in the middle. And he said, what's going on? I said, man, what's going on with you, man? He's like, good to see you. I'm like, man, good to see you too. And we had a conversation. And it was like, man, I'm glad we got that bullshit behind us. I said, man, shit, hell yeah, man, you know. And he said, I'm doing this TV show about my kids and my family like you doing. And he said, and I bought a house down the street. I ain't necessarily on the lake, but I'm in the same motherfucking neighborhood. I said, well, shit, man, welcome, neighbor. You know what I'm saying? So we had that conversation.
That's so dope.
You know what I'm saying? At that time, that was where our relationship stood at the time when he died.
Yeah.
And I'm so fucking glad that that was able to happen. You dig what I'm saying?
That's a
before
blessing.
His passing. And that allows me, you know, to encourage other young people.
Absolutely.
Who going through shit. As we talk to Thug and Lucci, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just different people who going through different shit right now. That, man, my nigga, listen.
People don't understand the phone calls we might get. You and me might wake up to a phone call at 8 in the morning from the mayor's office.
Oh, man.
You know, and saying, hey, that there's something going on in the rumor mill with rappers. And, you know, we don't know if you know these guys.
If the mayor is calling us about a rap beef.
Yeah.
That shit need to stop.
Yeah, it needs to stop. Exactly.
That shit need to stop.
Because the police chief not going to call us.
You dig what I'm saying? The mayor's calling us because the police chief called her.
Exactly. So
you see what I'm saying?
The police chief going to come see you. So it makes more sense.
And that ain't the last thing we want. But listen, so hey, say what's happening, man. It's TIP, and in case you didn't know, football is back. All right. I'm following my favorite teams and playing in BetOnline AG's $5,000 season-long charity football contest. Not only can you play against me, but you can win big, too, when you place your bet with BetOnline AG. BetOnline.ag, okay? BetOnline.ag. Catch all the games and play against me and my podcast friends. There's also a lot of big action on the schedule this week, and now you're not going to miss out on this. You dig? Now, here are my picks for the week. It is the third week of football. We have Baltimore at Kansas City. I'm going to pick Kansas City. You have Houston at the L.A. Chargers. I'm going with the L.A. Chargers. You have New Orleans at Seattle. I do believe Drew Brees will be sitting out this week. I'm going with Seattle. The L.A. Rams. You have the L.A. Rams at Cleveland. Now, even though I believe my guy going to come out there, man, wearing that Richard Mill again, I believe he's going to have probably about $500,000 watch on. I believe he's going to have a one-handed catch. I'm talking about Odell Beckham, y'all, those of you who don't know. But I still believe it will be in a losing effort because the L.A. Rams will defeat them at home. That's my opinion. Chicago at Washington. I like what Washington was doing. I think they look good. I haven't seen Chicago play yet. So guess what? I'm going with Washington. Those are my picks. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at Podcast One. BetOnline.ag to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure that you use that promo code Podcast1 for your 50% sign-up bonus. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. You dig? Let's cut to current events.
Yeah.
We had a very, very busy weekend.
We did.
Let's talk about the Revolt Summit.
Okay.
We were on a panel together.
We were.
It was a very diverse panel.
It was.
With some... A diverse panel of brilliant people.
I think so.
With very adequate ideas.
Yeah, a lot of polarizing ideas too. Just different
sides. And some prolific thoughts.
Liberal. Yep, some people very conservative.
Sure, but some of their positions and constituents are dangerous for this culture and generation and mean us no good.
That's arguable, but I feel...
Yes, it is arguable. And even on this panel, you, as we often do, disagreed with me.
Sometimes. Yeah.
Absolutely. And...
And friends can disagree. People friends need to know that too.
That's absolutely true.
For a common goal.
Absolutely. I didn't see exactly where you disagreed directly with me.
No.
But... I understood the point of the matter was, even though he's on this and against that, I'm going to speak against this and that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not with him and I ain't with that shit either. I'm standing right here and I have this to say.
Yeah.
I think that was very important.
Yeah.
I think it was a superstar moment.
Well, that's consider you're a real superstar. That's an amazing compliment.
Takes one to know one.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That was a true superstar moment. I think that as an activist, man, as an organizer, as a philosopher, you hoisted yourself into that position, and the world now sees what we have always saw in you.
Yeah.
Just explain a little bit, just elaborate just a little bit more on your position and on the statement that you made so eloquently.
Well, my thing is that as black people, we can oftentimes get caught up in representing for our team. And I'm pro Bernie Sanders to win the election next year. With that said, if he doesn't win the election, doesn't change the fact I'm black and I want the
best. What if he doesn't win the nomination?
Huh?
What if he doesn't win the nomination?
If he doesn't get the nomination, I'm going to have to find someone else to support that's similar to his policy. You know, but with that said, I'm not so pro Bernie Sanders that I'm anti-black other black opinions or thoughts. You know what I mean? I read Eugene Debs, Lucy Parsons, who were radical anarchists and socialists. I read Thomas Sowell and Walter E. Williams, who are radical, libertarian, conservative. Even Republicans. And I have a nuanced perspective because I've seen a city like Atlanta have both black conservative and liberal people, but all have been good for the community. You know, all have been good for our community. So I tend to be more pragmatic in the way I approach things. And the pragmatism leads me to say, well, is it good for us, no matter who it's coming from? You know,
right.
A lot of people didn't like Herman Cain when he ran for president.
Okay.
But with that said, the man has been a successful black entrepreneur and businessman, Morehouse graduate. He still goes to church
Herman
in
Cain.
The community. Huh?
Herman Cain, you
Herman
said.
Cain.
Okay.
Still works in the community on a very grassroots level.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, his father was a driver for one of the Coca-Cola presidents or something at some point.
Mm.
So when you look at that, he's the son of a working-class black man. Of course he's going to be a conservative. Of course he's going to, you know, think differently than a lot of people who came up in my generation.
Sure.
But I have something to learn from him, even if I don't agree with him. Right. I see Dr. Ben Carson, who's one of the greatest neurosurgeons ever to have been
born. Man, how somebody so brilliant become such an imbecile?
Well, I don't think he is.
I
think the press presents him that way.
Mm.
The same way the press presents you as an unintelligent thug. We don't own the press.
Right.
You know, it ain't like Ebony and Jet.
Or so it's the narrative that they perpetuate.
He said something very, very true. A young lady asked him a question, and he said the best advice he had for her was, you know, don't get pregnant, educate yourself. You know, and he said something that a lot of people construed as condescending. But if you want to give young people advice on how to grow wealthy.
That's the thing. Now, I do agree with this, though. Young people always want the advice given by older people to be convenient, comfortable, and soothing to them.
But it doesn't.
But if it is, it won't have the impact that it needs
and the world,
for you to make the change you need to make.
Yeah, like my grandma
said. The world ain't going to be that way for
you. Exactly. My grandma said, the world going to show you.
The world is not going to handle you like that. So why do you expect the lessons that you learn from us to come that way?
The narrative was written in a way that
that's my Kodak Black moment.
Yeah, I like.
You dig what I'm saying? Like the world.
Really like him.
I mean, you know me. I don't.
I do. I like him.
You know, I don't. I don't. I don't. I don't. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I like what he could be. Let me say that.
You know what? Guess what? Well, I can go for that.
Yeah, because I know.
I can go for that.
I'm for a redemptive story. I think it's gonna happen.
Hey man, God
bless.
I don't like him.
I don't like the other kid who's a rat. Whose name I ain't gonna say.
We always knew what that was, though.
Yeah.
We just didn't know how long it'll take to manifest.
Yeah, I don't.
We always knew that shit was either gonna lead in a funeral.
Yeah.
Or a motherfucking testimony. Yeah. We always knew that was the only two ways for that shit to turn out. And just as lo and behold, the prophecy is being fulfilled.
Yeah, he's
now,
going to
how him. Far he is going.
Yeah.
This motherfucker is going. I mean, astronomically.
Hey, man, I think he told on some kids in kindergarten who stole that.
Then, man, listen, man. He talking about people ain't even on their case.
I know, man. I know.
These people ain't even in the courtroom.
See, this is my thing about black
unity. You ain't got to talk.
This is my thing about black unity.
I mean, it seemed like they telling him, hey, man, slow down. You ain't got to say all that.
Hey, nah, man. He told
them. You ain't got to tell them.
But
Trippie
listen,
Red ain't got shit to do with this.
This is my thing about black unity. You let this outsider come in, you know, casually disrespect and try to bait other black men into federal time. Because everybody he picked on was subject to get federal time.
Right.
Whether it was Chief, whether it was Kodak, you know what I'm saying, whether it was Tato, everybody.
I like Kodak more than I like him.
Exactly. So when I'm saying,
I never liked him from the beginning.
Yeah, and trash,
never did.
Trash.
I garbage. Seen him when he shaking
nothing,
hands.
Nothing but an
I never liked him.
And a Lil Jon.
I never liked him.
But what I didn't like most is that I saw him bait black people, and I saw black people support him doing that.
Mm.
So my thing becomes: at what point do we stop doing that and really have the solidarity it takes to advance us?
Right.
Because the federal government is going to take care of him. They're going to take the tax off his face.
I don't know how they're going to do that.
Oh, they're going to put him in Iowa somewhere. He'll marry some girl named Jenny. And him and Jenny will live in Iowa the rest of his days. And he'll tell people who he was secretly one day. But, you know, or he'll come out and have a hit record and everybody.
No, that's what I think going to happen.
Yeah, that's what
that's I think. That's what I think going to happen.
Kids don't care anymore.
And then he going to die. He going to die horrible death.
I don't know that. I
think he's going to die horrible death.
I don't know.
I think so.
I just know.
I think, listen, man. Well, the laws of reciprocity is still in order. I feel like if you do bad, you get bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I could.
I feel like if you dodge or evade accountability in any way, shape, form, or fashion, it will reappear.
It could.
You know what I'm saying?
I think evil people live longer than good people.
Well,
George
you know,
Bush
you may have.
95.
You may
he flooded
have.
The community with cocaine.
You have an
crack.
Excellent point there.
One of the Cox brothers' deaths died.
You have an excellent point
yeah,
there.
You know, Dick and Cheney, that nigga lived without a heart for you. So, you know, now, evil is like vinegar, it preserves.
That these great points you have. There was no shortage of great points on that panel.
Nah, that panel was great, man. I think
no shortage of great points on that panel. Now, before we get into the suggestion you made, which was a phenomenal one.
Yeah.
Before we get to that, I want to talk about my, highlighted moment. You know, my clip. You know, that went viral along with yours.
Yeah.
From the panel. Before I get into this, I'm going to say, you and I had discussions, and our intention was to bring Candace on this show with us today. So we could discuss our point.
Yeah, I like the sister.
Hey, man, get what? Yeah. I did, too.
Why you say past it?
I say that because After the
exchange.
Not even after the exchange. We had very candid discussions.
Yeah.
We had very pleasant exchanges and conversation on stage.
Yeah.
After the panel, backstage.
Yeah.
We still were cool.
I saw that.
I made sure she knew I wasn't against her.
Yeah.
That she was still a sister.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
As a sister, I support her.
Absolutely.
I disagree with her emphatically,
that's
but
fine.
I still support her.
Absolutely.
And I made that known.
You did.
And so now, when the media, I won't say the media, when everybody got a chance to see the entire panel.
Yeah.
They disagreed as much as I disagreed with what she said.
Well, they weaponized your clip against her, too.
Well, that may be so.
Yeah.
That may be so. That may have some merit. However, what she chose to do was send me a text. She sent me a text privately to my phone. I did not know it was her until later on in the wee hours of the morning.
Yeah.
But the way I knew it was her is because I asked Tamika Mallory for her number.
Yeah.
Tamika Mallory sent me her number. I had not yet called because I had some shit going on with my daughter. And I was dealing with my daughter. When I finally seen it, that's who it was. I thought it was an anonymous text. When I finally seen it, that's who it was. It really rubbed me the wrong way.
Okay.
Because I know I don't have any ill intent or any malicious.
Yeah.
Intent toward her. I want you to read, not aloud, but I want you to read what was said.
I think you told me about it.
Yeah, I said a little bit about it. And you know how I am, Mike. You know I don't generally take being talked to, called names, and just basically kind of berated. I don't take to that very kindly or nicely.
Yeah, I get it. We talked about it.
And mind you, she's accusing me, or should I say, she's condemning me for the response that the public had.
Yeah.
To the panel.
Yeah.
Where we both had our chance to speak.
Yeah.
I posed the question.
Yeah.
Gave her opportunity to answer.
Yeah.
She stuttered and fumbled and bumbled. And then when she finally said something, the first thing she said was the worst thing she could have said.
Yeah, it was not the right thing to set up the Senate.
No, man, that shit was some bullshit, Mike. You trying to find another way to say that shit was some bullshit,
hey,
Mike.
That's...
Because you know why I say that shit was some bullshit, man? As true as it may be that there was slavery all around the world, we were treated like cattle.
Chattel. Worse. We were treated worse.
Yeah. We were treated like dogs.
Yeah. Worse.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the way slavery happened for us was nothing like the way she's trying to mention it as slavery happened around the world. Even beyond that, I feel us as a people, we must pattern our progression after others who have been in our position.
Well, no one's quite been in there.
Not quite, but the closest thing to it would be the Jewish community.
Jewish community's done a great job. Asian community's done a great job.
Yes, but look, in the Jewish community, you will never find another Jew trying to make light of the Holocaust by saying, oh, well, people were being treated great. People were being killed and got chambers all over the world. Nobody would allow them to say that. That rhetoric, that perspective is dangerous. It's extremely dangerous, and it's not advancing.
You can't forget that the Holocaust affected Jews in Germany. It affected Jews and regular people in Poland. You have to remember the brown shirts of the Italian party and the fascist party there. You have to remember Russians were killed. So there are other people that suffer, and they remind the world of that too. But a 10,000-year-old culture, you know, Jewish culture is 10,000 years old, they've had lots of suffering, and culturally they've stayed intact. So Holocaust, first of all, is horrible, right?
Absolutely it was.
Slavery.
Terrible.
Slavery is a Holocaust, you know, feels like 10 times over because we were robbed of all tradition.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't
even... We had our culture taken from us.
Yeah, and our place.
We didn't know our last name. We didn't know our language. We didn't know our religion. We didn't know any of that.
But with that said, it is important that we know the total of history. It is important that we understand slavery was not unique to America and Britain. It was worse under countries like Belgium. When Belgium went into the Congo, the Belgian king actually maybe double or triple amount of people that died in the Holocaust were killed in Belgium and were killed in the Congo and limbs being amputated. South African apartheid. So that's not to compare who suffered more. That's just to say that.
What does that have to do with the question at hand?
Well, I think what she was trying to do was preference that a commonality was happening and that worldwide oppression was happening.
No.
I'm not trying to argue with you. I'm just trying to say this is maybe what she was setting up for, but she never got to finish her point. What I see
finish that point. What I'm saying is the reason
this is how
she
be talking on the phone.
The reason she couldn't finish her point is because we can't allow her to spew that type of poison.
If you stop allowing each other to speak, it won't be long before they muzzle you. We have to always remember that. The First Amendment is important. It is important that we're challenged with ideas that we do not agree with, because if we don't find common ground and commonality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what Candace said about 23% of black homes didn't have a father, and say 70,
that's
80 years
ago. That's absolutely
factual. But that's, to me, more important.
It is.
Than some of the other stuff she gets castigated for, because I have the ability to, when she starts talking Trumpism, to just filter that down, because the stuff that she says that makes sense is important to me. Now, all that to say,
she's being used.
All of us are. But all that to say,
she's being used against us.
When all of us are being used against each other. That's why I said about serving two masters or arguing over who has the best master. When I read that you let me read the text from her, what I read is, I'm a fan of yours, I'm an admirer of yours, and my feelings are hurt.
But what did I do to hurt your feelings?
Nothing. But but what you said is used and weaponized, and at no point have you said, hey, I just had a disagreement with my sister, and it's just a disagreement.
But guess what? Nobody gave anybody time to do so.
No.
Because now this is an important lesson also to learn. If you would have just sat tight, gave it 72 hours. I have what I call a 72-hour rule. If I got some shit that I'm feeling real hot about, like that text, and I'm feeling real hot about it, I try to sit and at least try to give it 72 hours.
Yeah.
And if I'm still hot in 72 hours, then I go. But usually that shit be real, real hot in the first goddamn 2, 3, 6, 7, 12 hours.
Yeah.
And then after that, it subsides and goes away.
Yeah.
If she would have gave it the 72-hour rule,
but she
she'd have been here on this show.
But you hurt her feelings. And I'm not saying
man,
you didn't. But you didn't hurt
I'm
her feelings.
I'm only going... Look.
It being weaponized hurt her feelings.
Well, she should have talked to the media.
Well, but she
should have spoke to the media.
Like, it's the prime example is when the guy was shouting her down from the audience. And both of us,
we both protected her.
That's what I was...
We both protected
her. I said both of us.
It was a guy who was outside in the audience.
Exactly.
Who was yelling profanities.
Exactly.
And who was extremely disrespectful.
We got him moved
about
out.
Her statements.
And we both said, solidarity,
you ain't going to do this
not gonna do
to
this.
Our sister.
And
we did that. For her on
and when
her behalf.
She sees this,
and she still took that approach to me.
Well, no, it's not that she took the approach. She took the approach to your words being weaponized against her. That's all. It's like she's still black. She still get Tariq Nasheed
but you
on
do
her
know,
feet.
Me having she's a wife, still, right? Me having a
absolutely.
Wife. You have a wife.
Absolutely.
I have daughters.
Yeah.
You have daughters.
Absolutely.
I have a mom, and you're very fond of your mom, and you're very respectful, and you know you hold her in extremely high regard,
absolutely.
Just like I do my
absolutely.
Sister who absolutely. Passed as well. We have women, black women, who we love, cherish, adore, and we represent.
Yeah.
Those are the only ones who I'm going to take shit from. I don't have to take shit from you, Candace.
Yeah, and I don't think
I don't have to hear you talk to me like Like, you, I think you have a husband. He got to listen to this.
I think her feelings are just
do
hurt.
Not.
But her feelings are just hurt.
But your husband's supposed to care about your feelings.
Well, I mean, you got to care a little.
Your husband's supposed to care about your feelings. I'm supposed to care about what I mean or what I have to do to lead the people.
And you did. And you did. And she's doing that as well.
No, she isn't.
Yes, she is.
No.
There are black conservatives. She represents a part of the black
That's
political constituency.
That's fine that she represents the black conservatives.
And we have to be open to converse with each other.
But see, this is the thing.
These are the conversations y'all get to hear. This is what we go back and forth on.
Absolutely. We do this shit all day.
Yeah, but it's like Andy and Hosea. And
but listen, it's not about Republican or Democrat to me.
I felt your statement,
because when you said... we're listening to free people talking about arguing over who has the best master. I don't know what master I was arguing for.
Well, many of the points that you make are Democratic talking points.
Well, see, I'm not a Democrat necessarily.
But I'm not saying, I'm just saying the assumption is going to be that.
No, I'm not a Democrat.
I didn't say you were. I know you.
But listen, I don't have a party.
But I don't.
I feel like there is no party for rich motherfuckers that come from the ghetto.
I agree.
We don't have a party. We have a genuine interest and a passion for helping motherfuckers who have been downtrodden,
absolutely,
disenfranchised, and oppressed for generations.
Yeah.
We have a genuine interest to help these people.
Yeah.
But we also have money and want to keep it and have a genuine interest to not be taxed
compassionate capital.
And not have to pay for another motherfucker not working.
Yeah.
That's a hybrid. That's some sort of an anomaly.
It is. It is. It absolutely
of a party. I'm not either. I'm not Democrat. I'm not Republican. I am not liberal. I am not conservative. I am decent. I'm fair and decent.
Absolutely.
I am for fair and decent.
Absolutely.
You dig what I'm saying? And that's all I want. And what we have as representation right now is not fair and it's not decent.
It's not always.
It benefits me more than it benefits anybody else.
Absolutely.
It benefits you more than it benefits anybody else.
Well, I'm still Negro rich, so technically I still pay a lot.
Well, no, because you still have capital gains somewhere.
I do, but
you are able to take your capital gain, put it into opportunity zones, and you can shelter your taxes, and in 10 years, the taxes and the profits that come from your taxes will be free.
Now the secret's out the bag. I'll be white man
That's
rich.
That's what I'm saying.
Years.
Exactly. So it benefits me. It would benefit me. If I was just thinking about myself, it benefits me to go with what Candace is saying.
Absolutely. From a financial standpoint, it would.
Exactly. From a financial standpoint, it would. But because I care about the liberation of my people, I care about having a self-sustaining
ecosystem. Well, I think she cares about the liberation of our people.
That's financially stable within our community.
I think she cares about that.
I'm not saying she don't. I'm just saying, but this is why I am against
Absolutely.
I'm not saying that isn't why
she's
for it.
But I think she's for it for the same reason you're against it.
I feel you. I can't never go with nobody who has a blatant disregard and disrespect for my heritage.
Well, I don't think she disrespects the heritage.
Not her. I'm talking about who she represents.
The guy Trump.
Yes.
Okay, I got you.
He has a blatant disrespect, disregard.
Got you.
For our heritage, for our people, for our lives, for...
Well...
I just wanted to finish.
I got you.
When I say listen, I don't mean listen as in, you know,
retort,
a teacher telling a child to listen.
Now,
I'm saying, man, check this shit out.
Absolutely.
Okay, so listen. The financial gain that me, you, and other people like us gain from Trump pales in comparison to the detriment that it could cause from all of the divisive rhetoric and the agendas and all of the white supremacy, the fuel the flames that are being fanned and fueled by him being in position of white supremacy, that shit is fucking dangerous. And we have to fight against it. That's what I feel like. I agree with you. That's what I am motivated by. That's why I can't rock with her, because she represents white supremacy.
I don't believe that.
whether she knows it or not, she's arguing on the behalf of white supremacy.
Some of her arguments are definitely used on behalf of that. But with that said, I don't think that's in her heart of hearts. I don't think that's her purpose. So I'm not here to just purely defend.
And again, Candace, I'm not against her.
As much as
I'm against what she represents.
I understand in her Trump support. Not in her overall philosophy.
Not in her,
there are parts of her overall.
There's a lot of shit that she says absolutely is true.
That makes
honest.
Sense.
Brilliant and useful.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm gonna take it and I'm gonna use it.
Okay.
For the movement.
I would like to see you guys sit down and hash that out.
She's going to have to text me an apology before that happens.
Well, I don't know. You know,
she's going to have to text me an apology.
I don't know.
Before I ever speak to her again, she's going to have to text me or tell me an apology. Because guess what? One thing I know, I didn't deserve that.
Well, I mean, her feelings were hurt.
I don't care.
It's not like you meant to hurt her feelings, but...
I don't care.
I mean, you can't...
My feelings were hurt.
You really can't blame a woman for jumping out of a car that won't stop.
Yes, I can.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yes, I can.
Like, it was going to stop. That dancer knew that car wasn't going to stop.
She wasn't a dancer at the time.
Okay.
At the time, she was a high school student.
Yeah.
She was a high school student at the time. She wasn't a dancer. At the time. She was a future dancer. But I told her I had it under control.
I got you.
And I slowed it down.
And
I'm doing the thing where I'm stomping on the brake, holding it down hard as I can, and I'm stomping the gas with my other foot trying to stop it. And I look over, and she's hopped out the car.
Pew.
And I later slowed the car down. Probably about a quarter mile down the road, I slowed the car down, stomped on the gas pedal, and I refused to turn around. I'm not going to turn around. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to look back. I'm going to keep going. You wanted to be out the car? God damn it, now you're out the car. You know what I'm saying? But referring that comparison back to this topic, man, I just, like, we can't turn against. I didn't turn against her, even though.
I don't think, again, I repeat.
But that's what I'm trying to say. We can't keep
turning. My very stubborn friend. I'm repeating. She's not mad at you. She's mad at the way your words were weaponized against her.
She need to talk to the people who weaponized them.
And her feelings are hurt. But she doesn't respect them.
I need an apology.
She doesn't have a relationship with them.
No, I don't. I don't need a public apology.
She doesn't dance to what you know about that to them. Like, she probably played your records at her wedding. You got to think about that. That's like Ice Cube telling me, you know what? You know what I'm saying?
That's just like, look, somebody on Instagram, I believe it was, what's my man name? Gilbert Arenas.
Yeah.
From Napster. I think he's No Chill Gil. I believe Gilbert Arenas, under one of the videos of my clips, said to in the comment section that Killer Mike made Tip look stupid when he said what he said because this, that, and the other. Whatever. That's his perspective. That's his opinion.
Yeah, that's not cool.
Right. But no, I ain't tripping. I'm not tripping.
I don't mean like, I'm just like, you know.
I'm just saying.
I'm not here to make my friend look stupid.
I know it. Yeah. And guess what? That's exactly how I feel.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I have my opinion. Yeah. I have my perspective. And my perspective is not set out to the public for the purpose of making you look stupid.
Yeah.
It just happens to oppose yours.
Yeah.
So why are you personally condemning me?
Everybody,
I didn't personally condemn you when I saw that.
Everybody not from the West Side. Everybody not from the barbershop.
But how stupid would I look? How much bitch assness would I show if I would have let comments like that
Get to me
to the point where I am.
See, this is
looking
the
at you a different way,
or
behaving a different way with you.
This is the point where a guy would say, "Man, it's a woman," and then the next day, you'll be like, "You sexist, dude, you're misogynistic." But that is our sister.
It's still our sister.
And
I got sisters I ain't spoke to in years.
And that's real. But
I'm talking about we came out the same net set.
But
and I ain't spoke to him in
but
years.
But can we agree we still do have a love and respect for him and like to wish her well?
Absolutely.
Okay, that's it.
A love and a respect and an appreciation
yeah.
for a lot of her thoughts and so brilliant good. Philosophies.
That way
but
she knows. I
accompanied
just
want, with disdain for her representation I can of white supremacy.
That. But with that, she knows that the love and respect and appreciation is there. So right. that she knows now that you did not author those titles that people said to her, that people put under.
I ain't seen no titles that nobody
said. There were a few titles. They weren't very flattering. And you didn't tell people to weaponize that.
Right.
So now, on the other side of that, she has to hear, I still have love, respect, and admiration
I
for
still
you.
Do, man.
So
and if we somewhere, and anybody, and she's being accosted, or anybody's, you know, trying to do her harm.
Absolutely.
Get what? I'm going to be in the mix just like her husband would.
Good.
You understand what I'm saying?
Good.
However, I'm not speaking to you until you apologize.
Respect. Respect.
I don't have shit to say to you until you apologize.
I can respect.
I don't have shit to say to you.
Now,
you could have been on the show. You could have had your own platform to say whatever you wanted to say. You dig what I'm saying? And you ruined that by sending that disrespectful text. And
this
that was never disrespectful
to
you.
I tried to talk you out of putting up this post as a little flip of a leprechaun. It just didn't go well, you know?
Man.
It's just like, I left just like, I was like, he listened, but he's still going to do it. And about 20 minutes later, there you was on stage.
I'm like, saying, man.
You know what I'm saying? So,
and you know what?
If people
want to
know the dynamic of our friendship, this is usually
absolutely.
It.
This is it. This is why we both we become stronger. Become wiser.
Absolutely.
We become smarter. We become better. Because we challenge each other.
Absolutely.
Challenge each other. We challenge each other's thoughts.
Yeah. You stopped me from spazzing out in the flame.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
I kept having issues with a particular woman that was a...
A security.
She was security or a house mom.
She was patting people down coming in. I assume she was security.
Yeah, she was. And I was just like, you're not patting me down. Like, you know, she's like, I ain't been patted out of this club and... You know, and it led, and you had to put me to say, hey, like, man, if it go crazy in here, brother, we going to need to creep out. And the bigger scene you make, you're going to be the only name they say was here. And it forced me to register.
No,
that,
so. I mean, that and what I said was, hey, if we actually end up having to do something about this encounter, the worst thing we could have is people remember an outburst.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Now, that's when that night I was T.I. and you was Killer Mike.
Yeah.
I already slapped shit out of somebody.
But
shoot
see,
up
the thing,
club.
Though. Yeah. But see, I'm looking down the road because the slap is only going to lead to
the shooting.
And if that has to happen, the worst thing for us would be the slap.
And what's crazy is we both know the owner. And we got it settled pretty easily the next day. And have not had any issues, won't have any. And have grown tighter. Because he's somebody who grew up in our neighborhood, and I love and respect and Mike Cato. You know what I mean? So it's just that people get to see this friendship.
Right.
This is us.
But that's why times like these are important.
Yeah.
That's why times like these are important. Now, the other young lady.
There was Katrina. There was Tamika. There was Katrina.
Katrina was the other young lady's name.
Yeah.
Who also was a supporter of.
She's
the sitting president
of Trump. Yeah.
Okay. She said some stuff, and she also had some good points.
Yeah, she had some solid points.
She had some solid points, but she said some stuff that really troubled me.
Yeah.
It troubled me because this is what I always thought all along.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was really a confirmation of my present belief. She said that when we go, and she said we, like we as in she, her and Donald Trump are one.
Yeah.
And that troubled me. When we go get your basketball play, basketball players from China, speaking to the ball brother that was arrested in China for whatever
stealing
he was doing.
Yeah.
And when we go get your rappers.
Oh, man, she brought her ace out.
From jail.
She got the booze. I knew that
Sweden.
Was coming. I knew that. I was like.
And I stopped her.
I was like, oh,
I
man.
Stopped her.
I was like, oh,
I
man.
I said, see? You just damn did it. You did exactly what we knew you were capable of doing in the first place. You just damn did it.
Yeah.
You confirmed that There was no real genuine sincerity in you going to do these things. You did it because you wanted to get praise and attention.
But that's what politics from is. Politics blacks. Is politics.
But it's leverage. A con. And you're going to hear me say this again later on.
But he's a casino owner.
I get it. But you're going to hear me say this again later on. I don't mind the con. But if the con is good, I ain't supposed to see it coming. I'm not supposed to see the con. I'm not supposed to see it.
Well, you're going to see it because you
like
have...
Like this, let me tell you a good con. Let me tell you a good con.
Okay. Obama.
The war on drugs. Right, Okay, now this is just a reminder for everybody to go to expeditiously.com to get all of your Expeditiously merch. And if you don't know how to spell it, look it up, motherfucker. It's the information age. Expeditiously.com. You ain't even got to make the TI capital in the middle, man. But go and get your merch right now, man, because it is available. And I can tell you, you know, with a clear conscience and a pure heart, you buy it, you wear it, you look better. All right, man, you know what I'm saying? That's enough cap for today, and I'll see y'all later. Expedition. Hey, where you think you going? The show ain't over yet, man. Expeditiously continue. So, I said, you know what a good con was? And you said,
Obama.
Okay, and we have this conversation because you talk about how Obama...
I like the symbol that Obama is.
Right. And but you talk about the actual actions.
I don't think his policy affected us in a dramatically or overtly good way.
You don't think it's specific? I don't think you
can name a piece of legislation that directly affects us on the local level. My gay and lesbian friends have been directly affected on a very local level.
Mm-hmm.
My Hispanic and Latino friends have been directly affected on a local level.
Right.
My friends who work for big corporations and banks got saved. Auto companies, you know,
right.
Which I don't have an aversion to everything he did, but with electing a black president with 94% to 96%
he did release more people from prison, more black people from prison than anybody else.
Okay.
He did that.
He did do that.
He released more black people from prison. Commuted more sentences than anyone else.
And what happens now? Do those people...
I understand that.
You're not just going to get to release black people from prison and say, oh, you did a good thing because the prison industrial complex is...
I'm just giving credit where credit is due.
Sorry, that's not that impressive.
You're not going to tell me
in the midst of giving economic opportunity to people and allowing, you know, and well, to put it like this, you know what I'll say? That he freed more niggas in America than anybody else. He allowed an invasion of Libya to happen, and now there's slavery in Libya again.
Well, I mean, and I can't argue that.
I'm just simply saying that, as a symbol of Jesus on the wall,
right.
You know, it's cool, but white Jesus ain't never came to save us.
And a black
president didn't save us, nor did I expect him.
Nobody's going to save us.
But I expected better policy. I expected a Maynard Jackson-like policy.
I got
something
that.
To happen to say that we're going to specifically empower this community economically, not just give speeches at Morehouse that, you know, that to me condescend the young men that are there.
And again,
I hold nothing against him. I'm a huge fan of his and his wife and his children.
Right.
I'm a huge fan of him as a symbol.
Right.
But policy had never reached us. And to me, we were conned. You know, and not just by the Democratic Party, because he had control of the House and Senate the first 2 years.
I don't think we were coming.
You didn't see it coming. It came. You know what I'm saying?
You know what? Those are the best kinds.
You know what I'm saying?
Are the best kinds. I can take that con.
Yeah.
I can't take this one in front of me that I see coming.
Yeah.
And you're going to hear this later. You're going to hear this will be on the test. This will be on the test.
Yeah, but just freeing us from prison is not good enough for me, because you free us from prison and you don't give us any state. Like Bernie Sanders said first time around, I'll take marijuana off the Schedule 1 list.
Mm.
Obama could have done it with an executive order. Why didn't he?
Mm.
Why didn't he make a pathway for prisoners to go directly out of jail, for nonviolent drug offenses to go directly into marijuana.
Yeah, I do believe that everybody who's locked up right now for marijuana offenses should be the first people who should be entered into
the marijuana industry. Yeah, but he's not leading the pack to make sure that happens.
You're right.
You know?
I can't argue that. So again, I have no argument.
I don't have anything against him. Like, I still would love
Hey, listen. I have one thing against him. As much as I love him and defend him against my friend, I have one thing against him. And it would be very easy for me to hop on the side of your argument, but I will not.
I don't want you to
I feel like, no, but I feel like it would be, I feel like it would come from a more personal place, simply because I helped register voters.
Yeah.
I helped essentially get people out to get him elected the same way we did for Mayor Keisha Lance
Absolutely.
Bottom.
As did I. Jeezy wrote my president is black.
All that.
He had the support of the culture.
You know.
What did the culture receive in reciprocity to that?
I think that when he started calling people to the White House, even for the inauguration, I was invited to parties and couldn't get in.
Yeah.
I think it had a lot to do with my inability to make the clearance of Secret Service, but couldn't get in. Then they called people to the White House to have conferences, people who were, I guess, considered to be the leaders and spokespersons of the community. And I saw people there who had records that I know they had records.
Yeah.
And they were allowed to come. I was never invited. But I ain't tripping.
Yeah.
Because that's my own personal shit.
I feel you.
I never put my personal feelings or beliefs ahead of the greater good of the collective. Gotcha. I represent a collective.
Absolutely.
So just because I might be a little in my feelings about this, I'm still not going to let me being in my feelings misrepresent my position as a representative of the collective.
Yeah.
But I think that what you say is, although, albeit very true, I think the symbol of Obama is more important than any legislation he could have passed.
No, absolutely.
That's what I think.
No, it is important.
I think our little boys knowing, I think our little absolutely. Boy, okay, so if a white man would have passed those that legislation and little boys still thinking that a black man can't be president, you think that that would be more valuable?
Well, we're back to reset. We're back to a black man can't be president.
No, we're not back to a black man can't be president.
You're not going to see another Negro president for a while.
Not necessarily true.
I'd be willing to bet you some money on that one.
Well, we won't live long enough to reap the benefits. So you are.
I think that law and policy, we're promised. You have certain inalienable human rights.
Right.
Your rights as a human are to feed yourself, to protect yourself. Right.
Those are God-given rights, and I want to say that
those are human.
Those are God-given rights. Those rights were not given to us by any country or land.
Absolutely,
those are God-given rights. We were born with that right because we are human.
Absolutely. Now, your rights are recognized and protected by the United States Constitution and Bill of Rights.
Right? Mm.
And that's what matters.
Well, see, not even necessarily that. Our rights,
in this country,
we
in this
essentially,
republic.
We essentially give our rights over.
No. In this country, your rights are recognized and they're protected by the Bill of Rights, the United States Constitution.
Okay.
Policy and law matter more than symbolism, right? I don't care how many Confederate flags they make and hang on these states in the South and how many Confederate monuments they put up. The Union won, and the laws of the Union won.
And why do we allow that still? Because we must pattern our progress behind those, pattern our progress after those that have gone before us and achieved what we hope to achieve.
No one's gone through what
the closest thing to it is the Jewish community.
What they have, but they were never robbed of their traditions. You know what I'm saying? It's not like you have, America won in that a Civil War happened, the Union won, and at the time that the Civil War was happening, Frederick Douglass said that quote, you know, rights are of no sex, such and such is of no color. He wanted women.
I believe it's equality.
Equality of no color or something. He wanted black people and women to gain the right to vote at the exact same time.
Right.
They gave the right to vote to black men at first, and black women stood outside churches with shotguns and rifles and protected the right to vote against the Klan, right?
Right.
The Daughters of the Confederacy was born after that happened. So what you saw was a split between the abolitionist movement and the women's suffrage movement.
Mm-hmm.
Because black men got the right to vote, and white women in the South, frankly, were like, shit, what about us? And then you start to see the Daughters of the Confederacy. You start to see the rewrite of the Civil War and call it the War of Northern Aggression. And you start to see these monuments of Confederacy go up. Right, as almost a snub in the
face. How can we allow that,
though? Well, it's not that we can allow that. When we were in Congress and House and Senate and had federal protection by Union troops, that wasn't allowed. That happened after the Union troops were pulled out. And it makes you say, how can we allow that? America is complying in that. America as a whole doesn't care beyond American history in this republic. So to them, the Confederate soldiers, of course, were an opposing force. To me, you shouldn't have a monument or hang a flag of any aggressor toward the country that lost, right?
That's what I'm saying. You speak so eloquently and you say something that is so profound. When you said to me, why are we still celebrating these losers?
Losers. They losers.
We're the only country that celebrates the losers of a war.
Yeah.
You get caught flying
a Nazi flag in Germany, your ass going to jail.
So why can you still fly a Confederate flag here in America? Why can you still fly a Nazi flag here in America?
Because, first of all, you have freedom of speech here.
But, you have freedom of speech, but you got freedom. Ain't no freedom of speech in Germany?
Not to the degree that there is in America, obviously, because, you know, and they don't fly the loser's flag. And obviously, what America tells you, what America's showing you, is that we're complying in it. They're showing you that there's still people who right behind the red, white, and blue that are not Donald Trump, that are Mitch McConnell, you know, that are Paul Ryan. You know, you have just to be frank, this, if you listen to Ben Shapiro will tell you that, you know, Western society and, you know, Western civilization is the greatest and most dominant civilization the world over. Well, that is true if you're a Westerner who wants to promote Western civilization.
Right.
But there have been 1,000 empires before
right.
America.
Absolutely.
You know, there'll be 1,000 more after this one falls.
Yeah. From Rome to...
Yeah, exactly.
To Egypt.
Absolutely. At Timbuktu before Mali.
Timbuktu,
you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So what we have to understand is that We are still guests in a stolen house. You know what I'm saying? I agree with that. Yeah, so
I agree with that. We are.
Yeah.
We are like kind of like, you know, visitors who kind of have
We got stolen and brought here. Everybody else arguing over who coming illegally, who that's like,
right.
And we still don't know who we are, you know.
Man.
So it's I guess in the matters of that, Dick Gregory had the best quote ever, you know.
Man.
Stay out of white folk business.
You
know, some of that stuff just not our business. Our business is taking care of us.
But how can we ever truly take care of us if we are always sabotaged and undercut every time we get a leg up?
Well, we're not always sabotaged. We infight publicly too much. You and Candace.
That's true.
You and Candace shouldn't be fighting publicly, and you shouldn't make up. And that's,
I mean, we're not fighting publicly.
Well, you did.
She sent me a nasty text privately.
But
I didn't fight with her publicly.
No, I mean on the stage.
I didn't fight.
On the stage.
I only disagreed with her point.
I understand.
I posed a question that she couldn't answer, and when she made an attempt, I disagreed with her.
That's some bullshit. Is what
that
said.
Was some definitely.
And I get that,
bullshit.
But I'm just saying that at some point we're going to have to stop having those conversations publicly. And we're going to have them.
Well, we're on a panel, Mike.
No, I know, but that part of the conversation.
So I should have digressed.
Maybe.
You think so?
Yeah, just because
that wouldn't be my truth. My truthful
and
honest self.
And this is your friend. I know that's not you, but. When else are those people in that room going to get an opportunity to hear her? That's all I'm saying. We need to hear different perspectives.
If she would have said what you had said,
But
as far as if her answer was your answer, I would not have had any reason to interrupt.
Perspective, though,
and you stopped her too, because when you gave an answer that she felt was conveniently suitable to her argument, she said, "Now see, that's what I." And you had to stop her and say, "No, see, you weren't prepared for that." So just let me continue.
But even my answer.
And guess what? I did not agree with your answer.
Yeah.
But I did not stop your answer because it was not overtly damaging.
Nah, it has some validity. Like my son, for instance, God bless the God. He a brother I love and respect. He didn't agree. You know, he didn't agree with me saying or appearing to say great. Great is a relative term. Right to a working class guy who gets
What I'm saying. I disagree with your answer.
I can get that. I get that. But great is a relative term. Like a great day for me may be a shitty day for you. So, you know what I'm saying? You know, it's like you know, and I made this, thank God my sister didn't put up. I was teasing. I said, you know, my son, you know, if I got some head last night, that was great. And if I get some tonight, that'll be greater than shit. Three nights in a row would be the greatest. You know what I'm saying? So great is relative, but he attached to that and found some contention to that and made a video and stuff about it.
This is the reason why I think. Hold on, he made a video?
Let me get to this. I didn't see the video. All I'm saying is what I was attempting to say and what he helped me understand, and I appreciate him for helping me understand is that I'm a Southerner. 54% of all blacks in the country live in the South. I'm a Southerner. I'm a landowner. Not just talking about the land I've bought since I've been alive or the land my wife and I have accumulated. My family still has the same farm that they bought in the 20s.
I ain't never had that.
Yeah, but I have. So my perspective is radically different from his.
Mm.
My great-grandmother, I knew until I was 10 years old, was the daughter of an enslaved woman. So I have actually been affected, raised by, sent to a farm in Tuskegee, cut sugar cane, killed chickens, picked the eggs from under the hens. I've done all that. So when I tell a person owning your own land, growing your own food, fishing and hunting is freedom. It is great compared to having been a slave. It is a radically different perspective when you are the only skilled labor and all of a sudden the white people with one pay and you have to pay you. Mm-hmm. Whether it's fair wage or not, they have to pay you a wage.
Right.
That's a total 180 from where you were. Now, other people may not see that as progress, but there's a clip on Walter E. Williams that's up that I'm going to put up. And Walter talks about that. If you could resurrect dead slaves and show them that, think about this now, my great-grandmother, who I knew until I was 10 when she passed, was the daughter of a slave. If you could show her mother that the child born 3 years after you died is sitting next to a potential president of the United States and talking to his former drug dealer friend and helping a mayor get elected and them being asked to lead a successful black city, they'll fall back out and think you was lying.
Mm.
That's how quickly progress has happened. But I had to understand, in Mano's life, progress has not happened that quickly. I had to understand.
In whose life?
My son.
Okay. You know,
shouts out to Mano. But in my son's life, progression has not happened that. So he cannot fathom what I'm talking about in any way.
Mm.
My wife grew up in the Yom Kippur housing projects and later on North Street in Savannah. We now own three properties on that street and commercial buildings in Savannah. When we bought one of those commercial buildings from a black lady, she didn't know we was black till we walked in the door.
Right.
My wife walked in the door, she started crying.
Damn.
Because she simply wanted the business she had spent the last 60 years building to be owned by another black person. So when I'm speaking about what's great or what's good or what's better, I'm speaking from the perspective of people who've been unfairly treated, but who worked hard, figured out a way through capitalism and built something.
Right.
So I apologize if that wording offended some people.
No, it didn't offend us. I merely disagree with it.
But
because
we have to understand that no group of people, 7 years out of bondage, ever accomplished as much as we have.
I understand that.
No group of people.
I understand
that. And what we accomplished was no small feat, because what we accomplished was Atlanta, Rosewood, Little Rock, Arkansas, Jackson, Mississippi, Birmingham, Montgomery. All these places became black hubs of commerce.
You're right. I have two things to say.
Yeah.
I have two things to say. I have one reason that I disagree, just only one reason.
Okay.
And after that, I have a rebuttal. Oh. Now, the reason I don't agree is because there can be no greatness for no nation without sheer genuine equality.
That's not true.
I don't believe
America's fucking great, and it's never been equal. Nah, it ain't been equal for white people will tell you all day America's great. Man. And it'll be the poorest white man in the trailer park and the casino owner will tell you that. Listen, like at a certain point, we've traveled outside this country.
And injustice to one.
Where else in the world would you want to be black?
Africa.
What part of Africa?
I mean,
Ghana's the most peaceful one, and South Africa is Europe part two.
I mean,
what part of Africa would you want to be in? And I want to be in Africa. I believe in what Akon says.
I don't mind Tanzania.
You don't mind Tanzania? They got great safaris.
I don't mind.
Do they have a strip club and a Bentley dealership?
No, that's because I haven't opened one.
Okay. You know what I mean? But
they can afford it, though.
Outside of Africa, which we never vacation to. You do. But the average African American
yes.
It goes to Punta Cana or Dubai.
I do go to Punta Cana. At Jamaica?
The average African American ain't running to Africa for vacation. Europeans are. That's where they vacation at.
I get that.
Africa. We're afraid to go to Africa. We talk all that shit, and everybody done been to goddamn the Dominican Republic to buy prostitutes, Venezuela to buy prostitutes.
Hey, wait, not you. There are other things to do. They have great zip lining. They have phenomenal beaches. You dig what I'm saying?
That you can do with
There's
the prostitutes.
There's incredible architecture.
I'm looking forward to going to Brazil and zip lining with prostitutes my wife. I'm just simply saying
that's what I think I'll do with my birthday. I'll zip line with some prostitutes.
Yeah, there's so much.
That's what I think I'll do. I heard it from Killer Mike. I'm going to say it. I'm going to use that one. I'm going to zip line with prostitutes with my wife.
But I think.
Shay, do you approve this message? Shay says yes, she does. And that is the beauty of Atlanta, everybody.
Who gonna pick the prostitutes?
Hey, that's what I'm saying.
Hey, man, if you keep looking at yourself like the perennial loser, you're going to keep expecting to lose. And we've won more than we've lost.
I get that. Okay, so after I told you why I disagree.
Yeah, and I can accept that.
Okay, and even with my disagreements, I accept your answer as a valid one and as a more valid one than even a Trump supporter could ever provide.
Gotcha.
Because for one, the reason they can't provide it is because earnestly, that ain't the time they referring to.
No, they're not. Absolutely.
They're not
they don't give a shit.
To that time.
No.
So they can't,
no,
they can't
they're
answer not. That question. So even if she would have answered with that question. Excuse me. Even if she would have answered with that answer to my question, I would have said, so do you think these are the steps that are being taken that gets us back to this moment?
Some of it is. I'm going to tell you something. The piece where she talks about government being too involved in black relationships, that's the truth.
Absolutely.
Our little girls.
Yes.
And moms, their mothers sometimes are allowed to have or produce children outside of marriage or out of wedlock, like my grandmother would say, because we know government subsidies are available.
Mm.
And that plays into the decision. Okay, so to get the government subsidies, to get what you need, WIC, the milk and stuff,
right.
You have to turn in the name of a father.
But at the same time, I do feel like
just let me
men
give you
have left the post.
Hold on, let
certain,
me give you
a
this.
Degree. Okay.
Men didn't leave shit. Men were annexed out.
Mm.
Because to live in the housing projects,
now this is true.
Unless
Section 8, you were married, yeah.
You could not have a man in the household.
I remember my mama telling me to lie about knowing my daddy.
Exactly.
So she could keep
exactly.
food stamps.
Because if you don't,
I remember that.
Now you're essentially putting men on the government registry. So, okay, my name's John. My name's Jaquil, and I work at the local UPS.
Right.
I work at the UPS. Me and Shanice had a child together. We were 17 and 16.
Okay.
I've since moved on. I work at the UPS. I'm married now. It may not have went well for her. She receives government subsidies. She's had to turn my name in.
But why is she receiving government subsidies when you should be paying child support?
No. Hold on. We're going to get to that part.
Okay, cool.
I pay my taxes, state and federal.
Mm-hmm.
which subsidized the WIC in the food program.
But why shouldn't you?
Well, she goes to get on that because that's what happens when you get pregnant and you're out of wedlock. They say you need to sign up for these things.
But you now, should be paying child
support. No, I hear what you're saying, but I still work at the UPS.
Children's mothers are
nigga,
own.
You are T.I.
So, but I'm paying child support.
I paid lots of it, too. I paid over $500,000 of child support this
week. Okay, but
right? I look at my dick every morning like, you motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Literally and figuratively.
You see what you did
to us. You see what you did to us. You know what I'm saying?
Right. But when you say,
why do you get on child support? Because I'm 16, because I'm pregnant, and because this is what they're telling me I should do.
Mm.
Now I give his name in. He's put in a registry that even though he pays state and federal taxes, and those taxes are used to supplement my WIC, my juice program. Now he's being double taxed.
That's true.
So he's paying into a tax system that now the state says we give you this that we paid with his money.
That's not fair.
Now we're going to charge him back because you have to give us his name to receive said benefits. And on top of that, if we give you an apartment, you don't have to worry about working at the UPS and then figuring out an apartment.
Right.
You're going to give you an apartment or in a house. We're going to subsidize. You're going to rent a house. The only difference, the only rule is you can't have a man in there.
That starts
to happen in the 60s and 70s. And what you start to see is just like good times,
right.
The father is annexed out of the show.
The fact that, that's a phenomenal point that I have no argument for. I have absolutely no argument for. I would not argue against it because it is fair, true.
That's a point that Candace made, though, or was attempted.
And guess what? And when she made it, I agree.
That's a point that Francis Cress Welsing made. That's a point that Minister Farrakhan made.
Whoever makes that point, Malcolm X made. Whoever makes that point,
Thomas Sowell made. Walter Williams made. A point Ben Carson made. That's a point all these black people are radically different. All of us
agree.
So why can't we as black people sit down and say, what's going to be our target to really prevent teen pregnancy? Because if you really want to prevent teen pregnancy, you don't start with the girls. You start with the boys.
Mm.
If you really want to stop teen pregnancy, you make condoms free and available in school. You start to teach boys that their bodies are valuable. You start to make the Plan B pill option available for free.
Mm.
You get what I'm saying? If you really want to stop teen pregnancy, you take the financial incentive out of it.
I agree all
of this. And you say
I agree with all of this.
You don't simply get finances because if we never allow those unpopular ideas to come from people who may be unpopular to us, then we find ourselves kind of...
Well, I don't have any problem with the unpopular ideas. I have no problem at all. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm not arguing against the unpopular ideas. I'm arguing against the white supremacy.
Yeah, but that just doesn't matter. Like, not that it doesn't matter. Systemic white supremacy matters, right? But it's like Stokely Carmichael said. If a white man just, you know, if you call me a nigga, you want to hang me or whatever, it's whatever. But if he has the power to. And on a day-to-day basis, politics is not simply about white supremacy and black oppression. It's about how do I finagle my way to leverage in this system? How do I leverage power for me? It really works like Game of Thrones.
Mm.
In Game of Thrones, one season, motherfuckers could be wanting to kill each other.
Right.
And the second season, the Nightwalkers are coming. We got to click up, bro, because it's getting fucked up. You know what I'm saying?
So we're going
to have to start thinking more strategically. I don't need you to be my friend to be an ally.
Right.
We just need to have a common goal that'll benefit us both.
Mutually beneficial interest.
That's it. Yeah. That's all I'm trying to find.
Yeah.
That's all I'm trying to
Mostly
find.
Mostly is money.
Yeah. And beyond
other
money.
Other times weed.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And then other times music.
Absolutely.
Now, the thing that was so profound and prolific that you said that I applauded and cheered for, agreed with, was that you said we need to all get in a room.
Yes.
And list 10 demands.
Yes.
To present to any white man,
any politician,
white woman, black man, black woman, Democrat, Republican, politician, as our requests / demands,
absolutely,
requirements
is a great word.
To ensure our votes.
If you want us.
In their favor.
Yeah, if you want us, we worth something.
Right. I think that is a phenomenal idea. I don't know what it takes to make that happen, but I'm with you in doing whatever that takes. Now, do you have an idea, or have you written this list already?
I have things that I think could
give
help.
Let's go with a couple of them.
One thing that we could do in the very immediate, try to think what would be most effective most quickly. If blacks make up 35% of Georgia, 35% of the marijuana trade should be African American.
All right.
And 35% of our state budget should be in a black bank like Citizens Trust.
Mm.
There should be a coalition that specifically takes public schools and starts to train our boys in trades and trade skills that are going to be needed,
right.
Including but not limited to trucking in and out of that new port they're building in Savannah, to movie set building. There should be a real investment in our community if you expect to have us.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing is, if we make up 35% of this state or 15% of the country, then we should have that number in government contracts.
Mm.
We should have 35% of government contracts,
right,
or participation.
And this is what made Atlanta, Atlanta.
Absolutely.
Yeah. This is what made
Atlanta.
I call it the Atlanta way.
Absolutely.
This is the Atlanta way pattern, or should we say
after Maynard.
After Maynard Jackson. Pattern presented and patented by Maynard Jackson.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think that those are two things, because I think that a lot of our problems get solved if we solve our economic problems. If you take drug dealing as an example of experience, when there's money on the street, there's less murder.
That makes sense.
Yeah, when ain't no dope and it's a drought, there's murders everywhere.
Bodies pop up all around the place.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know? So I think that we start with economy, and then we start thinking about education.
Right.
And are we going to stay in public education, or are we going to pull out and create a private
system? Well, one thing I think we need to do as far as education is concerned, when you say 35%, 15%, however many people need to be represented?
15% nationally, 35% statewide.
All right, with 35% statewide, since that's the people who are going to be responsible for education and the curriculum within the education, what I feel is, one, what we have to do, and I refer back to our Jewish brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
What they would never do is allow people who support Hitler and the Nazis to educate their children.
Yeah.
They'll never allow their child to go to a school that teaches them that Hitler is a hero.
Yeah, well, I gotta remind you, too, now, we are only free 55 years, and we've been robbed of a legacy.
Even still,
Jewish people have kept theirs intact 10,000 years.
If we never know to demand it, if we never feel like it's wrong, we never accept that, hey, man, this needs to be changed,
it'll never
be changed.
So if that's the case, blacks don't carry money anymore. That's the unique thing about us. Like, it's not like we were procreated with. Like
right.
James Baldwin talked about it often. You know, or what they call ADOS, American Descendant of Slavery.
Mm-hmm.
We are a unique people in that we have our master's blood running through our veins, too.
Mm.
And we are a product of America in a very different way, you know, than other races and cultures that are here, because we have been so immersed in the growth of it. We've grown up with this country, contributed to this country, but we have the things that we retain from whoever we were are kind of hidden.
Right.
So, you know, when you start talking about a Jewish person would never submit or kowtow or be a part of German representation or Nazi representation, that would mean black people stop carrying physical money. Everybody on a piece of paper money is a slave owner, a rapist,
that isn't equivalent. And the reason why I say that is that it devalues your sense of self. Now, money is an object that you use to
get
other
objects. But what I'm saying is, would a Jew take money? Would a Jewish person take money with a swastika on it?
No, I don't believe
so.
They
why?
Would.
So, but yeah, and I'm not saying what
no,
I'm saying
what
is
I'm trying to
comparing
say,
ourselves
but
to them.
Listen, no, okay. Just hear me out. What I'm saying is that you are allowing your children to be educated, or we are
no, I agree
allowing
with you
our
that.
Children to be educated
I'm
by
just,
the oppressor.
I'm just saying
that
the subtle
would never
nuances,
be
though.
But I know, but just
but we
because,
can't leave our
listen,
oppressor.
Listen, listen. The,
well, no, not
the
that we
money,
can.
Whatever's on the money isn't as important
it's a piece
as
of
what's
propaganda.
Being, as what's being put into the minds
but
of our children.
But it's on the money. What's
putting
being your mind
on the money,
is that
I can
George
teach my
Washington.
Child about money at home.
No,
I can
no,
teach
no.
my child about the thing. But the
it's
things
all
that are being,
propaganda.
The
it's
things that
all
are being,
propaganda.
But the things that are being put into the minds of our children are teaching them self-hate and are causing them to be having less value for their lives and the lives of their brothers and sisters. You see what I'm saying? Because You teach them that Christopher Columbus discovered America. You teach them Columbus is a hero. You teach them, you know what I mean, that all of these things that have been in the curriculum throughout our lives and lifetimes and even before us in our public school systems within our community. Those are the types of things that people like the Jewish community would never allow.
So how do you feel about George Washington? He owned 300 slaves.
I mean, I don't fuck with him.
How do you feel
either.
About Benjamin Franklin? He was a pedophile and
I don't fuck with him either. But he gave us electricity. I don't fuck with him either. I don't like R. Kelly, but he gave us Bump and Grind, and I Believe I Can Fly. And God damn it, I love it.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't agree with the shit these people did, but I do appreciate the contributions that they made to the progressions of society.
I feel that, and I understand.
To progressive society.
Exactly.
But we would not allow our children, or we should not allow our children to be educated by a curriculum that teaches them that white supremacists are heroes.
Everything teaches that, though, Tip. There's
man,
not,
well, we have to find, well, until we find a way to stop it, we won't find a way to stop
it. I agree with you. Like Dr.
cycle.
Asa Hilliard, when we were at Douglas, you remember Ms. Baratheon?
I think that is one of the things. We need to have our own curriculum. We need to be able
that,
to
well,
develop
that
our
did
own
happen.
Curriculum.
That did, do you remember Ms. Baratheon, who taught social studies? She was a large woman. She
What's her name?
Ms. Baratheon.
Well, she had long Indian kind, or should I say Native American kind of hair?
No, she was brown skinned. That wasn't, not Miss Pearson. She told
well, no, Miss Pearson was extremely light skinned.
Yeah,
I remember
exactly.
Miss Pearson.
Now,
that was language arts.
Dark. She
Miss Pearson
ponytail.
Was the one who got me into similes and metaphors.
Yeah,
Miss
Pearson
entendres.
Told me to get a bodyguard at 17. She was like, you're dangerous. You know what I mean? She's like, your mind too dangerous. These folks going to try to kill you.
Right.
But Miss Baratheon studied with Dr. Asa Hilliard, who taught at Clark Atlanta,
right.
Egyptologist. And what he did was create a course curriculum where African-American kids got to see themselves in history, whether it was Christmas Addicts with the American Revolution,
right.
whether it was Ramses, whether it was Mansa Musa Suni Ali Bir
right.
of Mali. So it was infused.
Why isn't Nat Turner in our curriculum?
He should be.
Of course he should be.
Yeah, he should
but
be.
But why isn't he?
Well, we're not educating ourselves.
Well, see, why aren't we? That's what I'm saying.
See, that's the thing about Jewish kids. They go to school on, they have Jewish synagogues where kids go to school on Saturdays. They have to learn Hebrew, and they have to learn their history. So they go learn the same bullshit history we get taught, because the same bullshit history leaves them out, leaves Chinese people's contribution and Japanese people's contribution out. But they have other methods of educating. Why doesn't every black person in America know Swahili? We should. That's how the BGF, the Black Guerrilla Family, communicates in Swahili in prison. You know, why don't we make it our mission? See, and that's what I'm saying. When we put those type of challenges out there, we never do them. I think it'd be cool for us to stand in a room full of people and only we know what we're saying.
Yeah.
But are we willing to put in the work? Who's going to go to Saturday school?
I would.
You know, I would too.
Yeah.
You know, like, so.
I skip a couple of days, but I get the gist of it.
But you know, there's a move to make Swahili the continental language of Africa.
Right.
So why aren't we doing that? Why aren't we doing like Akon said and just going to Africa?
That's right.
Like,
I've gone and I loved it.
If we really want to
do it. I've gone and
I
loved it. Don't believe the bone in the nose and the sticks and the fucking flies in the face ass shit that you see on TV, man.
It's beautiful.
I went, they are a progressive people. They have metropolises and the infrastructure and architecture, and they just it's phenomenal in every sense of the word. And everybody, if you ain't went to Africa, I don't care which part you choose to go to, you
go
need to
Africa.
Find a part to go and go, especially Ghana.
I think we're in Ghana and we're in February.
Yeah, we're going to Ghana. I think we got to go. No, we should go this year. We got to go this year.
It's the anniversary.
It's the 400th year. This is the year. We need to go. I was going to try. Me and Tamika Mallory, we was all saying we were trying to go like November at the end of the year or something.
Well, let
like
me
that.
Know. You know I got Negro money.
So I'm ready. Hey, man. Guess what? We're going to try and get sponsored.
Okay.
We're going to try and get sponsored.
Okay.
Subsidized. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
We're going to use our relationships and our resources, you know what I'm saying, to kind of, you know, underwrite our trip. All right. And another part, and also, everything you say, although I don't agree with everything, I know that you're brilliant, and I know that you have our people's best interests
at
heart.
Absolutely.
So,
and if I'm wrong, I'll just simply say I'm wrong or digress.
I mean, but you know what? You might not know you're wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Or I might be right.
You might be right. Absolutely. You might not know you're wrong, or you might be right.
Yeah.
Same thing both ways. We got to love and trust and admire each other enough to take that walk together.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's what I think we all have to do.
Yeah.
Now, another part of this weekend.
Yeah.
Another part of this weekend, man, you know what I'm saying, that we, experience together. I didn't necessarily see you, but I know you were there. It was Sunday service.
Yeah, I saw you. I was over there with Damani. I was with my nephew.
Sunday service. I went to see Kanye. What did you go for?
I went for Smiley, my little sis. My she's not my sister by blood, but by spirit. I okay. went because I was raised in church. I went to Bethlehem Healing Temple on Hollywood and Fort Johnson Road.
Okay.
I went to Bishop James Church on Bankhead and Mount Olive on Martin Luther King. So I've had enough church for the rest of my life. I'm cool, right?
Right. But what made you go at that
Smiley?
Sunday? Smiley. Smiley, what did you do to make him go to church? She's smiling. Smiley over there smiling like a mother. Smiley over there just a smiling. She can't say nothing. She's smiling so hard. She can't even talk.
She,
Well, what was it that got you at?
She
but you, go to that church. You don't go to that church. What brought you to that church?
She goes to Coco Brothers Church.
Coco Brothers.
Remember
Church.
Coco Brothers?
I got you. Yeah, Coco Brother. Coco Brother got separated from his old lady in Mace Church that time.
Yeah, but they together. It's back. I think they got it worked out.
I just know Coco Brother and his old lady.
Don't throw no preacher under the bus. Now, nigga, goddamn. Don't make sure we go to hell together.
What preacher?
He Coco Brother preaching that he got a church.
I'm not speaking ill of Coco Brother.
I'm just saying, because nigga, I just don't want to be in the gates of heaven and they be like, Mike and Tilt, y'all didn't get in.
Why?
Because, nigga, we talking against a preacher.
Man, them motherfuckers don't represent heaven. That's the damn point.
It's just going to be me and Tilt just outside the
gate.
Man, like,
them motherfuckers, I'm going to say the same thing. I'm going to say, oh, God, that what you want me to follow?
I'm going to be like, I got a section in hell.
You know what you expecting me to follow?
I'm saying? A section in hell. They got bottles.
Hey, but, man.
So Smiley's a huge fan of Jesus and Kanye West.
Okay.
And
Black and, Jesus, I hope.
Yeah, Black Jesus.
Okay.
And I just love her to death, and I knew that it would mean the world to her. And, you know, Till, I've seen you do it, man. You just, it's easy to do good things for good people.
Absolutely.
So I said, if she up at 9, I'll go on and go, right. So Pastor Jamal had hit me, had said it was cool to come.
Yeah.
Gave me a point, man.
So we was all there for Kanye, basically.
No. I was there for Smiley.
You were there for Smiley.
Yeah.
Smiley was there for Kanye.
And Jesus. Yeah.
I'm also a fan of Jesus and Kanye as well.
Yeah, yeah.
However, I could talk to Jesus at my house.
I do often.
You understand that?
Thank you, Lord.
So, only motherfucker I couldn't see at my house that was going to be there that day was Kanye. So that's why I came.
Well, I walked in.
I came to see Kanye Sunday service.
I walked into a preacher asking 20 people to stand up.
Man, listen. I want to talk about.
And give $1,000 a piece.
Listen, man, wait a minute.
It was at that moment I was glad I got sent to the silver section.
Don't do that.
You and Tit was. Titty Boy's 2 Chainz for people. I mean, 2 Chainz Titty Boy, people don't know.
Yeah,
when you and Tit were standing, I was like,
man.
Oh, that's the rich nigga section.
Now, let me give you, first of all, listen. I promised the people that we would talk about this on Expeditiously when this picture went viral of me.
And that face.
Making this face. In Sunday service at church.
Hey, that face was like 20 bands. Like,
no. If you haven't seen the picture.
Oh, the picture's amazing.
The picture of me.
My wife.
In service. Sitting in the front row. In the front row of service.
It's hilarious.
My face. I cannot explain. Like, everybody's like, Tip. Everybody's like, Tip, what the hell are you making this damn face in church for?
Because you had this just got asked.
No, I ain't get asked nothing. What happened was,
church,
there was a con being ran.
Oh, you seen it coming.
There's a con being ran. If there's a con, it's supposed to flow smooth. I ain't supposed to see it coming.
Oh.
Now, first of all, let me go on record. I will say this. The pastor who is the normal preacher.
Jamal did not pass.
For New Birth.
That day. Jamal
was
Bryant.
Jamal. Jamal had preached the full sermon.
He's a great preacher too.
Yeah. He preached the full sermon. And mind you, the night before, I got word from Kanye and his camp. Arrive at 9:30. Service will be over by 11:15. I get there on tip time, of course, at 10:15.
We pop up by what, 11?
Yeah. So y'all got there a little later than us. Y'all got there when the money got there. So
yeah, we got there when the money was what got there, but when they had stopped asking for the money.
Absolutely. Yeah. Wait a minute. So, look, this. I think this will be one of the most remembered days of church service there's ever been. So, I get there, I have a conversation with Kanye, me, Tit, Yay, my old lady, Tit old lady. We were all back there, man, like fellowshipping. Wow. Jamal was still preaching his sermon. I didn't get to hear Jamal's sermon. I don't know what he preached on that day. I don't know what he spoke about. I have no idea. What I do know is they'd raised an offering. They'd already tossed around the plate, tossed around the buckets.
Yeah.
The buckets.
The buckets.
Not the plates.
The buckets.
The white paint buckets.
Not the pretty silver plates. With the velvet at the bottom.
The big, deep, white paint buckets.
And they won't see that thing fill up.
Sherwin Williams, what you stir paint with a wooden stick with.
Yeah.
When you painting
not the paint
a big
can,
room,
the
not a small
bucket.
Room with a paintbrush.
the paint roller. Yeah.
You know what I mean? All right. That had already been done before I even got seated.
Yeah.
Okay? And before you arrived as well. So I speak to Kanye. One thing that made me feel very good about coming out when I first got there, I felt very good, man. I felt uplifted because I saw Kanye, and Kanye was in great spirits. He seemed in a much better shape mentally, emotionally, spiritually than he was the last time I saw him.
Yeah, I feel that.
And than he was the last few times I'd experienced him, even in, you know, in the media.
Yeah, I understand.
He seemed more clear. He seemed more directed with his intentions, and he knew what he was doing, why he was doing it, and the purpose of,
you know. He regained his focus, it seems.
Yes, yeah. And I felt good about that because I was like, man, whether I agree with my brother or not, it's great to see him doing well.
Yeah.
It's great to see him, you know, in great spirits.
Absolutely.
And with a positive mindset.
Absolutely.
So, from that, I'm feeling good now.
Yeah,
they come and walk me, my old lady, Tit, his old lady, walk us down to the front row.
Yeah.
And at that point, I got suspicious. I was like, well, wait a minute. Why do they want us on the front row?
The old Evander Holyfield seats.
You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Why do they want us on the front row? But I didn't say anything.
Yeah.
I sat there quietly. I crossed my hands.
Cross your ankles and hands.
Yeah, my ankles and my hands. And I sat there patiently. Just like this. This was...
Let's see what's happening next.
Patiently. So, Jamal was still preaching at the time.
Yeah.
Jamal never asked for money not one time. I didn't see it.
Yeah.
He did, however, say that there was going to be a very special service today.
Yeah.
And when I heard him say that, I think he's talking about Kanye. I'm like, hey, yeah, good. Kanye's coming out. You know what I'm saying? It said church will be over at 11:15. Here it is. It's about 10 minutes to 11. So it's time to bring Kanye out because I got a text last night saying service will be over at 11:15.
And then who came out? The old preacher came out.
Yeah. So what they did was...
brought the Beijing King out.
Man, he said... all the way from Houston. And I say, damn, Kanye came from Houston.
I didn't even know he was down there. How
you doing coming from Houston? I'm flying in. Pastor such and such and such. I'm like, huh? And I ain't know. I thought he was with Kanye. I'm like, all right, cool. This pastor comes up and he says that his sermon is going to be about sacrifice. So immediately I say, sacrifice. That's not bad. Okay.
See, me being a church kid, at this point, I'm like, I'm seeing, I think we're in it. I'm just like looking and smiling like, thank God we're in the center section. Because, boy, if we were in the winter section, they'd be tapping a nigga for some dough.
Hey, look, we're going to get to all that. So he says about sacrifice. Then he gets to showing pictures. He had a slideshow, PowerPoint presentation, it looked like.
Ooh.
It looked like a person who's raising funds for an investment that walks into a corporate office in a conference room and goes, Here, to this picture.
Yeah.
Boom. This is my church before. and it shows a little bit, little hole in the wall, little church, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Look like anything, yeah. Little back alley, little goddamn yeah. Columbus, Georgia, yeah. Augusta, Georgia, Birmingham, Alabama ass church.
Yeah.
And he showed the front of the church and said, if you could see, the church isn't even wide enough to park two cars in front of it. And he was right. It had like a Oldsmobile 98 and a motherfucking Fleetwood. And them motherfuckers was exceeding the width of the church. I saw that. And then he said, now sacrifice. God put us in position to make sacrifices, and we are rewarded. Our sacrifices are rewarded with abundance, with blessings in abundance. And he goes into... I didn't like giving, but I was compelled to give. Then he tells a story about a time where he was a preacher, and then there was the church, and the church's budget was it was in a five-figure deficit. And he said, I had the money. I didn't have it for that, but I had the money. And immediately something told me, you got to fill that deficit for that budget. And I said to myself, well, I don't want to. But then, and he said this, and this is what he said. He said, and the thing is, when the spirit talk to you and tell you
yeah, I heard that
to
point.
Make sacrifices,
yeah.
You got to do it fast before you talk yourself out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, he ran. Yeah.
I say, huh? So you mean to tell me if I am compelled to do something that I tell myself later with my rational thinking mind I can't afford to do, I shouldn't listen to my rational thinking mind. I should just go ahead and dive in, face first in the frozen lake.
Yeah.
So then he says, I want 20 people right now to stand up and give $1,000. 20 people. Let me see. Who do I have?
First, he said something about 10,000.
Yeah, he said that his deficit was 10,000.
Yeah, yeah.
He said what he gave was 10,000.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He said, but here, you guys can do better than that.
Yeah, now we want everybody to sit up 20 people.
But even before he said that, it were people walking up to the stage like strippers, like they walk up,
yeah.
Like we do in, not Magic City, like we do in Cheetah, yeah. Where you walk up and you hand people yeah. money, and then they open up the garter belt, but instead, he didn't open up his garter belt. He said, oh, no, just lay it down on the front. So they laid down 20. And a couple hundred, whatever it was, I was close enough to the stage so I could see. And all the while this time is going on, I'm looking at Tit, 2 Chainz to y'all. I'm looking at my old lady. I say, do you see this shit? Hey, Tit say to me, man, you here, leave me alone, man. We in church, leave me alone. Don't
yeah,
do this.
Yeah, he still had on
don't
the shades.
He said, man, leave me alone, Tip. You bad. You is bad news. Leave me alone, man. I'm in church. You not going to do this to me. I say, man, do you see this shit going on right now? And I tell my old lady, you see why I say, you see? Do you see why I don't come? Do you see? You see this?
If you look at my Twitter, there's a Twitter that says, I'm in church. I can't believe this shit.
Hey,
I did that around the same time they started asking for that money.
Imagine. And we ain't even gonna talk about Lil Yachty and Coach K were behind me. I turned around. I found myself. This is how I got some of the...
Shout out to Yachty, man.
Yeah, shout out to Yachty, young man, man. And, mind you, I was in Magic City all night. Me, Puff, Tamika.
I could tell.
We in Magic City all night. Not just Magic City till it closed. We was in Magic City like until about 6 in the morning.
See, technically, I paid my tithes at that point.
You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Tithing ain't just to the church.
No, exactly.
Tithing is to the community.
Yeah, I'm helping.
Tithing is given to people who need
exactly.
help.
Exactly.
Tithing is given to people who need help.
Shayna
it's not
and
given
I
to
have,
a people.
Have fell off in Ebenezer.
Right.
We have fell off in Ebenezer.
Which stuff. I really respect. I really, really respect Warnock.
I do too.
I respect Warnock and Ebenezer.
That don't mean we weren't high as fuck in the top row.
That don't matter. We should be.
Yeah,
I mean, you have every right to
be. We done been geeked
up. Because he's trying to save the wicked, not the righteous.
Yeah, so many times we've been high fresh out
the
strip.
You know what I'm saying?
That one strip club still stay open to 4, 5 in the morning.
Right. But this time, because we had, you know, like it was members only.
Yeah,
they weren't
absolutely.
Selling any alcohol.
Nah.
They weren't charging any
just
admission.
Sitting in social
it life. Was a mini, it was a members only group who were fellowshipping
yeah.
after hours.
Absolutely.
Okay. So I cut my fellowshipping short at Magic City.
To go to church.
To go and get me 45 minutes of sleep.
Yeah.
To get up and drive out here to be accosted and basically exploited.
Finessed out some money.
And when I sat down, as soon as I sat down, remind you, I tell you, they already raised the offering. Jamal already raised the offering.
Yeah.
When we sat down, there was a whole new agenda.
A whole new agenda, fool.
When me and Tit is up, there are two multimillionaires. There are actually three, counting Tamika, three multimillionaires on
yeah,
the front row.
Yeah, well,
it's like they rung the red bell at the Players
you know,
Club.
You know, hey, you know what? Barlow,
you dig what I'm saying?
Barlow said, Oh, yeah, this a money grab. This like when you got Tip and Puff and everybody in the compound.
You
it go from being $100 to $400.
You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay, so now, he said, I need 20 people to give $1,000. Where you at? 20 people. Count them out. He counted from 1, 2, 3, 4. He counted everybody. And I turn around, and I see people I know. There's Brian Barber, a famous video director.
Yeah.
And also director of Idlewild. And then I see Ernestine and Jay Morgan.
Shouts out to them.
Hey, I turn around and I say, sit y'all dumb ass down. What the hell is y'all doing? Don't y'all see what the hell is going on here? Sit y'all ass down, man. What the fuck? Okay, so, and they looking at me, Brian Barber looking at me like, hey, what do you mean? And then I see Tit go in his pocket. He pull out a bankroll. I'm talking about he had a big old bankroll. Must have been about $10,000, $20,000. He pull out $500 and then he finna give it. I say, hey, man, Tit. Man, give me $100 out there, $500. get $100. You mad? Well, give me $100. You finna get him $500. Why can't you give me $100? Shit, bro.
Hey,
you giving away money? Give me some.
For real.
And, all right. So we had a good laugh about that. And then while he's still counting that, the 20 people to give him $1,000, this motherfucker had the nerve to say, "Come on, y'all, get your blessings heard." Nick, are you telling me I have to give you $1,000 for the good Lord Almighty to hear my blessings?
To hear my blessings.
Yeah. Are you a goddamn? I said, and that's when I think that's when you. That's probably when I made the face.
You made the
face. I'm probably making the face all. It just
like,
unconsciously. It's all over my. I'm talking about. I can't help.
I was on
myself.
The side with the money, laughing like a motherfucker.
I can't help myself.
I was over
this
there.
Is very important.
Me and Smiley was over there looking at
my
you
wife. Don't believe I'm still in here doing this damn podcast.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So
yeah, let's
FaceTime
get it.
She
yeah,
does not believe.
I'm on FaceTime.
I'm with that bitch right now.
I'm in FaceTime.
I'm with that bitch right now, y'all.
Hey, love.
There's no way. There's no way.
Shayna
I could possibly.
Shayna in this
there's
motherfucker
no way
too.
I could possibly be
yeah.
in here still.
Wife club.
Doing this shit right now. So this is a wonderful example. Anybody out this time of night?
I am also on
you
probation
with that
for
bitch.
Life.
You are not doing no
yeah,
goddamn
definitely.
Podcast. You is not
you
with no motherfucking
bitch,
killer.
Man.
That
you
bitch better
that
be worth it.
Bitch,
stay
man.
Where the fuck you at, nigga. You know what I'm saying? I'm with that bitch right now. But let me finish my goddamn story. If you want to stay on FaceTime, you can. I'm going to set the phone right here. So goddamn, what you saying?
Y'all, man.
So.
Love to be.
Yeah,
love
okay,
it.
Now call you when I'm done. Okay, cool. All right.
I'm glad I ain't the only nigga getting no call.
Now, mind y'all, now. It's 4:18 a.m.
Nigga, I got a call at 4 in the morning.
Nigga, you better not say it. Well, you better. Hey, man, you better back up like the Barcades, spin around like the OJs. Hey, look, right? Hey, look, right? Put some brakes on your skates, boys. Way too late. Hey, listen. So, look, right? So, as he say, get your blessings heard.
Absolutely.
This is extortion.
Yeah.
Yes. At this point, you're telling these people they will not be blessed unless they get their money to you.
Yeah.
And this is the problem I have with black churches.
Well,
that was the need.
No.
That was why I had
face. With all church. Because this is what I learned doing Trigger Warning with Creflo. I was prepared to just really go in and set the record straight.
Right.
Like, 'cause I went to Creflo Church, and if you didn't have money.
Right.
they put up a text on the screen that say you can text us. You can essentially cash app us.
Right.
And I was disgusted.
Yeah, you should be.
But then I said to myself, the Catholic Church owns as much land as any other organization.
Yeah.
The Catholic Church rapes, pillages, literally.
Sure.
It has accepted that a part of their culture.
Is pedophilia.
Yeah, has become that. Even if it's by omission and you just consenting by turning the other head. And for in terms of riches, they've collected an immeasurable amount of riches.
Absolutely.
If I'm not going to rally against them, essentially, these are just cheap country preachers with big congregations.
Man.
But I got to rally against it all.
This is my thing.
You know?
I'm not against giving to those who need giving. I'm not against.
I agree with you.
I am against the con.
I agree with you.
This is a con. But you trying to trick me.
They are the card. They the top. What I'm saying is,
You trying to trick me into believing I need you to talk to God.
That's what I can't go for.
No, I'm saying, but they saying, they charging my prayers admission.
That's what
if you want your prayers to get in the VIP line.
I mean, they did sit you in the VIP section. You could have sat. In the center section with me and DeMarcus.
Okay, let me continue. Now this is the shit that got funny. This is where it get funny. And they, I guess, you know, they were watching me, and they seen my face, and they seen me tell people, "Sit y'all, dumbass.
That's
die. What the hell is y'all doing, niggas?
And you putting the pressure on me, nigga."
Hey, so look, right. So DeMarcus came in. And he was texting me, asking where I was, told him where I was. He finally spotted me, and he walked from across from where you were. He's walking over to me as they calling people forward to get saved.
Yeah.
And as he walks across the middle of the church, a lady taps him on the back thinking he coming to get saved and say, "Come on, right this way." And he look at me and shrug his shoulder like, "What I'm supposed to do?" And he just walked over there. He got born again by mistake. He got... Which I found hilarious.
Because
I know...
Listen,
DeMarcus
was out there
more
with him, smiling, about to cry. She was so moved, she thought he accepted Jesus.
Man, DeMarcus is more of a 5%er than he is anything.
Peace to the God,
you know,
man.
What I'm
peace
saying?
To the God,
DeMarcus,
man.
DeMarcus feels that there is a God within all of
absolutely,
us.
Absolutely. Absolutely, nephew. I love nephew, man.
Hey, listen. So... please help me over here, Javon. I'm having a mic issue. Okay, so all of this is going on, and then they still making these. They still jugging at our pockets. They still jugging.
Oh yeah,
they
went hard.
I mean, this shit has about 30-40 minutes of this.
You know what? If they really wanted to get the money, though, they would invite the dancers because they pay their tithes. The girls pay their tithes. Well, like, real talk, the girls pay their tithe.
Well, listen, man.
Don't invite the rapper.
What I'm telling you,
it ain't that I ain't giving.
No, it ain't that I won't give.
No, I won't give.
I will.
No, I'm
I
not
will.
Giving shit.
I would give.
I'm
you know
give
what I give? You know what I give?
Yeah.
If you were to tell me, "Hey, man, the church is really doing a lot for a lot of people, and we can't do it on our own. We need contributions from the people who are around to help us to be able to do things." Then I'd be like, "All right, man, I'll give you some. Cool. But you ain't finna tell me, come get my blessings heard, and you need $1,000 from 20 people.
Guess what I'm
saying? Finna be me and 19 more motherfuckers. That ain't gonna happen." What you gonna tell them?
I'm gonna pray for you. And again, I would do the same thing to ask when my family called me, asked me for money, "Let me pray on it."
hey man, hey, look, the hardest shit I heard, Duval saw this person say, who asked him for some money, say, "Listen, obviously the Lord's will is for you to go through this little struggle right now.
I don't want
to
get in the way of the Lord.
I don't want to get in the way of the Lord's work. So I got to let you go through what you're going through right now. You don't understand it now, but when you get where you're going, you'll see.
Absolutely.
I can't interrupt God's work."
Come on now. Absolutely. Hey,
but look, that takes me back. So I guess they saw the look on my face, and it was an older lady. I'm sure she was a member of the church, and she comes from... she was in the front row also, but farther to the left, on the other side, across the aisle from us on a different row. And she walked over to me. I walked over to us. And she says, Well, you come here. I see by the look on your face, you must be you must be ready to become a member, join the church. I say, hell no.
Boy, your ass a character, man.
Yeah. Oh. Hell no. I wish I would. Hey, she literally clutched her pearls that were not there. It was like, oh.
Oh, my
well,
God.
I never.
I never.
And she turned around and walked off.
Man, I was over
my
there.
My old lady reached in her purse, pulled out some money. I said, you better put that damn money back. I tell you right goddamn now.
Oh, man.
You better put that money back. And this is my thing, man. We can't take religion seriously if it is just so visibly diabolical like that. Like that was dastardly. You know what I'm saying? How do you expect young people? Like, you had this opportunity, you had all these young people, all these people who wouldn't have never normally got up out their bed,
yeah,
left out the club, ended they Saturday night so they could come here. You had an opportunity, a genuine, a grand opportunity,
yeah,
to show what this religion, this church, and everything was all about, and you blew it.
Or did they? A lot of people joined.
Not after they hear this. Bet you they won't after they hear this.
I don't know what that man from
Houston's name was.
There's nothing more powerful in our community than the concept of Jesus.
Man, listen, the concept of Jesus, I don't have a problem with the concept of
no,
Jesus.
No, I'm not saying you do. I love Jesus.
I love God. I love Moses. I love Noah. I love all of the people in the Bible. I love them motherfuckers. I love them. But listen, man, ultimately, you're not finna use my love for them to motherfucking exploit and you're not gonna manipulate me like that.
Yeah, I agree with you.
You're not gonna extort, exploit, and manipulate me with my love for Jesus, using my love for religion, my love for God. Cause one thing I know about God is, first, church is not a place.
It's a state of being.
It's a state of being. Absolutely. Amongst a group of people.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? The Bible says when two or more join, the Lord is present.
Absolutely.
You understand what I'm saying? And when me and you, as we talk about the Bible, and you make me aware of things that I didn't know, I make you aware of things that you didn't know. That's church. The presence of God is among us.
Absolutely.
We are fellowshipping.
Absolutely.
You understand that? We don't cost us a damn dime.
No.
It don't cost us a damn dime. You ain't gonna convince me that my prayers hit the roof and fall back down to the floor because I didn't give you $1,000, sir.
Well, you know, in one of the only acts of violence that Jesus ever committed in the Bible, you read, is when he flipped over the tables and the merchants in the temple. In the synagogue, he was so disgusted that there was commerce going on versus salvation that he became angry and flipped stuff, you know.
I would like to know who this gentleman's name is. Because somebody, hey.
His name was Trap Jesus.
His name was, he was the tithe whisperer.
Yeah, he was.
Could you please find out what his name was, Javon?
You gonna put
please.
Him on blast? Man.
I need to know his name. He needed credit. He needed to get his credit. You know what I'm saying? I just want to know what his name was. And after I find out his name, I will gladly give him all he has coming.
Treasure.
I'm going to give him all.
But I mean, you can't do that, though, without, you got to go, you know, that applies for all of them.
Does apply to all of them, because
that's Kenneth Copeland, that's T.D. Jakes.
Absolutely.
That's Joel Osteen. You know,
I mean, Joel Osteen, he's the first one to get it.
That's the Catholic Church.
He's the first one to get it. I have pastors that are my friends.
Yeah, absolutely.
That I respect, that I admire.
Yeah,
that
they're
I appreciate.
Good men out there. Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Reverend Warnock. Reverend Warnock is one of them.
I like Warnock.
I
don't think he should have ran for state office.
I don't know that he did, and I don't.
He was thinking about it. I'm glad
okay,
he did.
Right on. So Reverend Warnock, I respect, I admire.
I like Timothy McDonald.
I trust. I appreciate him. I don't know him.
Timothy McDonald's an organizer. He's a hell of a reverend too.
Right on.
At the Church of Offmore.
Reverend Edwards. Yeah. Out in Ellenwood. I also, let me see, Pastor Redman, over off of Sylvan Road.
I don't know Redman.
Yeah, man. Pastor Redman, he's a very good guy, man. A little older, man. But he's very genuine, earnest, and sincere. He always calls and checks on my wife. He calls and checks on me. You know what I'm saying? Just out the blue. I ain't been to church in years. And he still just called, man. I'm just telling you, I
that's
see
Reverend
what you're
Love
doing.
For me, Albert Love.
I see what you're doing.
Reverend Love.
I see what you're
yeah.
doing out there. I'm motivated by you and your wife. I love you. That's the same shit you called me and tell me. He'll call me. And he might say, I heard that new one you put out.
I don't know much about that music.
But I heard that my daughter and my granddaughter and them, they played it for me. And I say, look at Clifford. That's what he say. Look at Clifford. So you know what I'm saying? So it's not that I have a thing against pastors, against preachers, so to speak. I've been raised in the trenches, and I was taught to peep game.
Yeah.
You ain't finna run no game on me. I will not be extorted.
Yeah, or exploit it. Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? And that's my only thing. So that was what was behind the face. And as soon as we find the preacher's name,
I knew what was behind the face. It was hilarious to me. I'm telling you, we watched y'all like a TV show. Me and Smiley were over there like, we just waiting on Yeezy. Oh, shit, look, they trying to hit Tin and Tip up for some bread. Like,
man, what?
Like, I've never been so happy to have been late in my life.
Man, like, listen, man, and I felt like I shouldn't have came. And nobody should be in church I shouldn't have came.
The transition, though, I will say, man, Kanye's performance and his
Kanye shit was dope.
It was powerful.
And guess what? Dina was hitting Kanye's people. Kanye people telling them this was not a part of the plan.
Yeah, it brought the tears out of my eyes. And the ladies I was around gave me some tissues. I can't even lie. The power brought it out.
Bishop, what? Come here, let me read it. I want to get him right now. I want to get him right. His name is, that's him. Hell yeah, that's him.
Let me see him.
Bishop Hilliard.
Now, you know his whole church gonna come for us now.
I don't care.
I care.
I don't care. Come for me.
I feel like beefing with Christians online.
Man, come for me. If you got a problem with what I'm saying, ain't got a problem with what he's doing, that's a reflection of you. For agreements. It's not about how they feel about me. It's about how they feel about themselves.
We're gonna have a Lord gang on our head.
Man, guess what?
Lord gang.
We will be much richer because we were not duped into giving $1,000 for someone else to buy a new Cadillac.
Yeah, let me see the bishop.
And when I had Bishop Hilliard, I had a problem with your with your sermon of extortion, and I also had a problem with the hem of your pants. I did not like that I could not see the shoelaces on your shoes.
I'm looking at
Bishop
Hilliard.
I did not like it. I did not like
ask for all that money, boy.
I think that the only person that we will allow that we allowed to have a hymn like that, there were two people.
Who?
Steve Harvey.
And Bernie Mac.
You dig what I'm saying? Yeah. One has gone to glory, and the other has since found a new tailor.
Yeah.
So we will not allow you to come with these egregious hymns.
Oh, man.
That go from the heel to the toe of the entire shoe.
I'm asking on the behalf of my wife because I bought her a lot of shit for Christmas.
Okay.
It's a Gucci boycott over. I mean, I really
man.
Like
I'm gonna tell you how
like,
I feel
for real,
about
man,
Gucci.
I spent like $10,000 in the goddamn
Gucci. And that brings me to my net point.
For real, man. Like, goddamn.
That brings me to my net point.
Back,
I'm, glad,
like,
I'm glad.
Yeah,
I'm glad.
Like,
I'm glad.
I love you. You my brother. I don't want to be just out here
too,
Gucci,
bro.
But goddamn, I bought some $7,000 boots. I'm fucked up over here, man.
I'm like, glad you said that. So look, man.
Let her wear this fucking Gucci, please.
Hey, look, right. And what is this?
You know, she Geechee, she get mad. I don't even understand the fuck she be saying.
Hell
she be
nah.
Like, when this shit over, Gucci, Geechee, this shit just turned to Riva. It's like, God damn. If I get that preacher $1,000,
the Wall Street Journal the other day, page B1, I believe it's the financial section.
What did it say?
It says, as Gucci tripped on social media, sales fell. Criticism.
It worked.
criticism of a controversial sweater, yep, hurt the fashion brand's influencer connections and online buzz. Yep. A drop in quarterly North American sales followed.
Congratulations, sir.
Let's see here. Gucci boosted its brand and sales by using social media to flaunt its connections with hip-hop artists and promote its theatrical fashion shows, but the momentum reversed February after the release of a sweater that critics likened to blackface. The result, Gucci lost the top spot among luxury companies and social media engagement in March, according to the Tribe Dynamics, and in July, it reported its first quarterly drop in North America sales since early 2016.
Congratulations.
Now, that was the purpose.
I knew that.
I know you knew it. I'm telling the people. That was the purpose of the 3-month.
90 days.
90 day.
Absolutely. A quarter.
Boycott. So absolutely, we could affect their quarterly earnings.
And we've done it.
And we did it. But what I want to say is, just imagine what the fuck we could have did if all of us would have stuck together.
I agree. Now, baby, I think you can wear your Gucci again now. I think now, it's okay.
And I will moreover to say,
yeah,
I myself,
yeah,
I still ain't rocking with it. And that's not encouraging anybody else.
I have worn none of my Gucci shit.
I myself am still not rocking with it. And not because it ain't fly, not because I don't like it, not because it's not fashionable. It's because Gucci, their solution, their answer,
yeah,
to their fail,
yeah,
was to come to us and tell us what they were going to do to fix it.
Yeah.
They came to us and told us, yeah, we fucked up, but guess what? This is how we gonna fix it. They didn't come and ask us. They filled the room with half of people that they were paying.
Yeah.
And other people who, you know, they were voices of the community, but they did not fill the room with the right people to actually get anything earnest and sincere done. And basically, they treated us like suck-ass niggas. It's just like if you're a suck-ass nigga, and somebody hits your car, and then they get out the car, and they say, oh, man, I hit your car. Well, guess what? Then what we gonna do? I'm gonna buy you a drink.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna buy you a drink, and you'll be all right. Hold up, nigga, what about this big-ass dent in my Mercedes? No, nigga, I got you a drink.
Yeah.
Ain't I did enough? Want a drink? You want a bottle?
Can we protest and get my 10 band back? I get that shit back.
I give it back to you.
Oh, you want? Oh, you want? I'm selling your shit.
I give it back
I'm
to you.
I'm selling your shit.
I paid C-Rod $400 for his. I think it was a bag he had. I gave him $400 for it. Now, mind you, I can't pay retail. This shit's been used. Hey, I can't pay retail.
She won't none of that shit. You look, I bought all that shit. You called a goddamn boycott the next week. I told you should have won that shit fast. Hey,
so look, so that's where I'm at with Gucci. I saw that motherfuckers really, 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 and I think most motherfuckers' problem was that they didn't come up with it.
Yeah, I mean,
they didn't think of it.
I think it was genius what you did, because you show companies in a quarter, it's 90 days, and it right, shows them this how effective. Now, also, I'm a supporter of Dapper Dan having redemption after Gucci.
I am too.
Because
I think he's a tool. I think he's, well, you know.
I mean, I'm not saying he's not. I'm saying he's a person that helped define what Gucci was in our community.
That's true.
By his once
and
bootleg.
And he finally got the credit for it.
And now he has the credit after they stole his design.
After they stole his design. Absolutely.
So if there's no redeeming thing that's come out of all of this, the two things that I've taken from it.
But who they are, they've always been.
Absolutely. Tip showed the world that you could affect the company in a quarter.
Right.
Dap has been given the proper accreditation in the boutique he deserves. And I encourage people to go read the family history of Gucci. Mm. Gucci as a family ain't shit. They wild,
you know what
as
I mean?
Hell. They like the family in the hood where everybody sell crack and snitch on each other.
Well, get what? I ain't even being critical of them and who they are and their moral
family.
No,
I'm just saying as you aspire to be something.
Right, right, right.
Know what
right,
you aspiring
right,
to be.
Absolutely.
One of the make fucking all the sons the called a Fez on his daddy.
What?
All kind of infighting. Now, they eventually got bought out, but I'm just saying,
this is the origins of the brand that we're supporting.
Exactly. The shit that you aspire to be, it ain't no better than your cousin Ray Ray.
Absolutely.
You know, so just, you know, just know that you make Gucci. Gucci don't make you.
That's the main thing. Yeah. And I hated motherfuckers feeling like they got to put that shit on to be validated.
Well, we understand where they come from.
They just think it make them feel a little bit more like white people.
Well, I mean, they feel a little bit more like rich black people who are aspiring to feel a little bit more like white people.
Well, listen, man.
I love you.
We've been in this motherfucker a long time.
I respect you.
I appreciate you. Love you, man.
I appreciate you coming to my business.
Hey, and guess what? If anybody's in Atlanta, come by the swag shop. This shit is just as much of a tourist attraction as the Trap Music Museum. Whether you come to the one on Edgewood, the one in College Park, or the one in the State Farm Arena. You dig that? And while you're here, buy some merch. I bought one of each item that they have, and they tried to give it to me, but I refuse. Yeah. I am insisting.
Appreciate you, man. I love you.
I am adamant. On patronizing with you, because that's how you supposed to support black businesses.
Thank you, man.
Support is not asking for free shit.
Yeah, thank you.
You know what
now
I mean?
We're going to give
although
you...
I will ask for some free shit sometimes.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, we're
going to
give you some free shit. Yeah, like there's a jacket we're going to charge people a lot of money for. Here's what's free. You know? And we're not going to apologize for what we charge you for.
And you need a podcast.
Yeah,
you need your own podcast.
I think so.
Because you're smarter than I am.
Shit.
You know
I'm smart because I'm friends with you.
Right on. But, yeah. You know, you need your own podcast.
We're going to do something cool. I'm going to see if I'm going to run for president.
Come on. I'm going to help you raise your funds.
Yeah, I know my man good with the money.
I'm
going
to be campaign manager. Look,
I'm proud of you.
I haven't gotten
a chance to say that enough. But, you know, I've seen you during some pretty hard times. And I've seen record labels sleep on you. I've seen the streets and community, you know, lightweight want to turn it back. I've seen you endure prison twice. I've seen you be a great father, a grand husband, and get, you know.
Thank you.
And I just respect you and I love you. And
man,
you give me a lot of hope.
You know thank you. I respect you and love you just
absolutely,
as well, brother.
Absolutely.
All right. And this has been Expeditiously.
Expeditiously.
Kill your masters.
Kill your masters, man.
Thanks for listening to Expeditiously with me, T.I.P. Don't forget to subscribe at Apple Podcasts and Podcast One and rate and review, please.
Expeditiously is produced, engineered, and edited by KC Morris.